It's the Morning Invasion.
Whatever. Whatever.
And go.
Here we go.
Who's with me? Let's go. Come on.
Just in time for April Fool's Day.
Interesting. Wait a minute. You can't fool me that easily.
You gotta be kidding me.
You know what they say. Fool me once, strike one. But fool me twice, strike three.
It's no April Fool's joke.
I am ready to face any challenges that might be foolish enough to face me.
This ain't no time for this here foolishness.
You're not fooling me.
Hey, Scoop, I think we fooled them.
Oh, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
Well, it's not April Fool's Day, but, you know, it's Friday. We're not going to be here tomorrow, so it's kind of April Fool's Day. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And everybody usually is a prankster 3 or 4 days before April Fool's Day. So you better watch out. You just might get pranked this morning.
Yeah.
Know who this is?
Yeah, man. Obviously. Foghat.
Yeah, bro.
Is it? Really?
Yeah, it's Foghat.
Shut up.
You nailed it.
I was being funny.
Really?
Yeah, I was being totally funny.
That's Foghat.
Yeah.
What? Out of all of the classic rock bands you picked, you just threw one out there and it stuck.
That is incredible. Oh, I should have pretended like I knew.
It's your Foghat, man.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. That was the first, like, random band I could think of that I don't know any of their music.
Wow.
It was like that or Bob Seger, but I kind of know Bob Seger stuff.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I don't know anything about Foghat. This is a good song.
Wow.
Food for the city.
That is hilarious.
Man, they don't make music like they used to, right?
They really don't, man. They make it better.
They make it better.
They make it better.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Dex and Steve-O. It is Friday, March 31st. It is 6:11.
Dude, high today? 58 degrees.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just when you thought it was safe to take off the hoodie. It's going to be some rain today.
Better bust out those turtlenecks.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was the weekend look like.
Saturday, passing shower too, and the Sunday it's going to warm up a little bit. Tomorrow we've got a remote.
Oh, yeah.
Like we're going to be outdoors.
We're going to get some rain?
It's looking like it.
So they got to cancel it, right?
Yeah, right. I doubt it.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Brief shower, too. Okay.
I just remember last year, those poor kids had to sit out there on the field for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Did they decide to switch it up and
make it a little shorter?
Yeah. What? I feel like you have a lot of pull when it comes to that stuff.
It was going to be a lot longer, and I helped trim it down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those poor kids.
So it's slated for 9 to 10:30 tomorrow. Going to be doing the opening day ceremonies for Paradise Hills Little League. Originally, they wanted to announce all 510 kids in the program.
Holy cow! Yeah, there's a lot of kids.
It's a lot.
How much are you getting paid for this?
Oh, nothing.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh well.
Community, bro.
Oh, is that what
Mission
we did?
New Mexico?
Okay, that's fine.
Literally just being a part of the community of Albuquerque.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I'll be there. I don't got anything else to do on a Saturday anyways. I'd probably just be sleeping in.
That's good.
You know, I'll be there for the kids. Sure. Sure.
It's good, man. It's good.
I guess.
Just doing good things.
I mean, whatever. My schedule's super busy on Saturdays.
Really?
Yeah. Got a lot going on.
Oh, yeah? You want me to tell you my Saturday?
Yeah.
Cool, man. So we've got, we're emceeing.
Yeah, me too.
Paradise Hills Little League opening day ceremonies.
Yep.
That starts at 9 a.m. But obviously before that, we've got to get the van, get everything set up.
Well, I mean,
so
you do.
Be there, right. Got to be there early.
I'm the talent. I just got
to
show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's over at like 10:30-ish. 10:45 is is photos for one of my kiddos for their team.
Oh.
So we'll then have to race over and do team photos for that. And then at noon, we have a game for Brody. He's got a game at noon, right?
Well, Chrissy can do
and
that.
So that's at like noon to, you know what, 1:32 maybe. What's that, 2:30? Oh, Luke's got a game also that day.
Oh, my gosh.
Luke's got a game that day also. So
Luke's baseball.
And then Chrissy's basketball coach from high school is being honored for something because blah, 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 state championship, yada, yada. So she's going to an event that afternoon. So then I'm on baseball duty for the rest of the day because that's from like 3 to 6 or something.
Sorry,
I'm sorry. Yes. Tell me about your busy Saturday again. Go ahead.
No, man.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You took up all the time.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have time.
Just making sure.
I don't have time to go over my schedule. It's too busy. That's crazy. You guys need to take Brody out of T-ball.
Nah.
Yeah, he needs to quit.
Nah.
That's ridiculous.
Nah.
That's way too much. And he's not really learning anything. Come on, man.
He's crushing it.
All right. Of course, I was just joking. I don't have anything going on Saturday.
Obviously.
I'll be there. It'll be fun. I hope it rains because I love the rain.
It's supposed to rain at like noon.
Good.
Yeah.
Today is the 90th day of the year. 16 days until Easter. Make sure you guys make plans. Sunrise service, 7:30.
Yeah, we'll be there. We're going to do the Easter invasion.
I think it's going to be a little bit warmer than last year because, I mean, what was it, yesterday or the day before we had the sunrise service last year? Because we get their little updates on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
You didn't look? Oh, well. It was cold last year. So
it
was. I'm guessing it's going to be a little bit warmer.
Yeah.
So make plans. We'll be emceeing the sunrise service. 44 days until Mother's Day, 80 days till Father's Day. On this day, 24 years ago, in 1993, Brandon Lee died on the set of The Crow.
Oh, I had a chance to talk to Ernie Hudson on Monday about that very thing.
Yeah, he was in The Crow.
Yeah, he played Sergeant Albrecht. And he talked about Brandon Lee and what an amazing young man he was. I can't believe that. I mean, I can because I had already known, but yeah, 24 years.
Even in the report that I found, they were wrong because in this report that I found, it says he was shot in the stomach with a gun that was supposed to be loaded with blanks.
Yep.
Well, it was loaded with blanks.
It was loaded with blanks.
It wasn't loaded with real bullets.
No. So what happened was there was a guy on set who was, you know, he took care of all the weapons and they looked at everything and this gun they had preloaded before and then they tested it and okay, good, it worked. But what happened is something got jammed in the barrel on that test.
Some shrapnel.
And then they were I think it was like 2 days later and he was not, he had already left for the day, but they were shooting the scene. They had gone long and it was like, well, let's do this. It was tested a couple days ago. It's fine. Okay. And Michael Massey, the actor who actually passed away this year, sadly, he played Fun Boy. He fired off a blank, and the shrapnel that was lodged in the barrel acted like a bullet in the abdomen.
Oh, gosh, man.
So he was shot in the abdomen and died at the hospital.
That's so sad.
Yeah, dude.
Well, today is the day he died.
24 years ago.
Yeah.
By the way, if you going back to Easter and happy things, Sunday, April 16th, it's supposed to be sunny, high of 71 degrees, no clouds, no nothing. So
good.
Yeah.
No Jordan worry. Felice going to be there?
Jordan Felice will be there.
Great message from Skip Heitzig. Man, we got a huge show today coming up at 7 o'clock. Guys, Belle Biv DeVoe gonna be on the show. Oh, yeah. Speak up, cause girl, I
can't hear you. Try to be 50%. I'm not gonna lie. I'm so excited!
Yeah, we put in for this interview just begging our agent, come on, man. This was Steve-O's very first concert.
In all caps, I put that. This was my first concert. They, I'm gonna have to ask for many apologies.
Yeah, I guess all three of them are going to be on the phone?
Yeah, all three of them.
Which
we got the whole band.
Not a huge fan of that, but whatever.
We got Michael Bivins. We got Ricky Bell. We got Ronnie DeVoe.
Man.
And no, I don't have a sheet in front of me. I just know them all.
I told my wife, I go, guess who we're interviewing tomorrow? And she's like, your mom. It's like, well, yeah, I'm probably. But Belle Biv DeVoe. And she goes, no way.
Yeah, right.
She's like, what are they doing? Why are they calling? And I said, well, they got a new CD out, and they're touring because that's what's happening right now. All these 90s bands are coming back.
Yeah, dude. They're doing big things. Michael Bivins always did big things, though. You know what I mean? They were part of New Edition. Michael Bivins was a big part of Boys to Men and ABC. The East Coast family.
I guess they're promoting their first new album in 16 years, Three Stripes. Pretty cool.
It's going to be an interview you don't want to miss. They were my very first concert. And it was Keith Sweat, Johnny Gill, and Belle Biv DeVoe. And the concert was great. I was that kid who had my name painted down my pants.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember how they always airbrushed their pants and everything? I seriously did that, except with markers, because I was a kid and didn't know better. So I used to, like, marker up my pants, and I'd have, like, drawings all over my pants. And, yeah, I'm so cool.
Yeah.
I thought I was part of the East Coast family.
Sure.
So when I found out they were coming in to Albuquerque, it was like, Mom, you got to take me to see them.
How old were you?
I was 91, I believe. So I was like 12.
Wow.
Right? And we got there. Show was going great. Then Belle Biv DeVoe decided to do one of their hits. It's called Do Me. And things went awry.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, we are out because this is naughty.
Steven, tuck your ears.
I mean, I didn't understand. I was just like, I love this song.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this to me, Mama? My mom pulled me out of the show.
Oh.
Yeah. She couldn't believe it. She couldn't believe I was into that. She didn't know what was going on.
Oh, Steven.
Steven. So.
I can't believe you listened to that stuff.
Just so you guys know, it's a pretty good chance my mom might be part of this interview.
It's driving Steve out of my. That's why it's hard for me to find.
Yeah, so the plan is. Oh, wow. You're nailing it.
Miss her, kiss her, love her. That girl is
poison.
Yeah.
The plan is to get Steve-O's mom on the phone while we interview Belle Biv DeVoe. And we'll tell the story. Because, that's great, man. They're going to be so embarrassed. It's going to be so good. That's coming up at 7 a.m. this morning.
I can't wait. My mom, now here's the thing. My mom lives in Arizona. It's an hour earlier, and the interview's at 7 o'clock our time.
Yeah.
That means we got to call my mom at like 6.
Yep.
More like 5:55.
Yep.
Get on the phone, prepped and ready.
Your mom probably wakes up early, right?
Not that early.
Yeah.
Like I called yesterday, and I was like, Mama, listen. Yeah.
We need to call you.
So.
It'll be fun.
May have to call and wake her up. Hope she answers.
Yeah, well, I hope so too, because that'll be great.
Yeah.
Well, do the top 10 things you should do before you turn 50. This is a question we'll throw out because Mike Pence was in the news yesterday. People kind of upset, freaking out on Mike Pence because he won't eat alone with any woman who's not his wife.
Yeah.
And people online are going crazy over it. So we'll discuss that. Can a married man eat alone with a woman other than his wife? I think it's a good question.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll get to it.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots to discuss. I mean, it's like an onion. We'll peel it back. There's a lot of layers. What else? Facebook, they're doing something now. And Facebook, they know how to stay in the game. Because if you are on Facebook, you probably realize that there's this new feature called Stories. And if you don't have a Snapchat or Instagram, then you think that it's just this new feature. Well, no. I mean, Facebook owns Instagram. But they don't own Snapchat. Snapchat was the first one to come out with the stories. Well, then Instagram stole the stories feature from Snapchat, and now Facebook just rolled out their stories, which is exactly the same as all the other ones. Well, now they're rolling out a new feature. You know, the whole, hey, I need money because I want to send my child to Disneyland, so I've set up a GoFundMe. Well, Facebook has decided to come up with their own feature so people don't have to use GoFundMe anymore.
Right.
They use Facebook.
Yeah. I was reading an article yesterday about how sometimes the top brass in Silicon Valley don't necessarily have to be innovative anymore.
Mm-mm.
They just have to be the best. Facebook is, quote, the best. Yep. Therefore, they have enough money that they can just go, man, that was a really good idea. Let's just completely steal that.
Yeah.
Let's just completely do that also. And it's become this crazy, like, it's weird, right?
It is weird.
You don't, they don't have to invent anything anymore. They just integrate. Oh, Snapchat's doing this. We're doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, the best of Instagram. Let's buy them and take over this.
This is how much bigger Facebook is compared to Instagram or Snapchat. Instagram has, I think, around 350 million people.
That's a good amount.
Facebook has 1.5 billion people.
Yeah.
Snapchat has like 150 million.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they are the monster in the game. And anytime any other social network comes out, they're just going to crush you.
Yep. They'll take the best of what you can do, and then they'll integrate it into their system.
Yeah. Or they'll just buy you. That's what they'll do.
Yeah.
If there's an idea that comes out, Facebook will be like, all right, here's $1 billion to go away. We want your idea.
Gosh.
That's how they stay in the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but guess how much they're going to be asking as far as a percentage. Of course, they're going to take a cut.
Of course.
Of, you know, the money that you raise. Oh. Much, I mean, so does GoFundMe. They do the
GoFundMe,
same thing.
Yeah, GoFundMe, they'll, 3%.
We'll talk about it coming up.
Oh, great.
It's a lot. It's a lot, man.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Also, we'll talk about a town in America where there is no Wi-Fi and no smartphones.
Hmm.
Sam Swan going to be here today?
Yeah, dude.
He'll be in around 8. And coming up at 7, right after we interview Belle Biv DeVoe, we have our girl Becca from Bear Canyon CrossFit going to join us for a little bit, talk about fitness, diet, health, working out, why you're scared to go to the gym. I saw Christian yesterday at the gym.
Yes.
Our boy Christian. He's getting fit. And he's doing great, man. I got to meet his son yesterday. So, yeah, we'll talk to Becca coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We have a letter, if we have time, titled, I Don't Like My Daughter's Boyfriend. I feel like I can help this person who wrote in because, well, I have a daughter who is a teenager now. And she is, of course, definitely into boys.
Weird.
Yeah. The thing is, my daughter, since she popped out of the womb, she's always been into boys. There's never been a phase, I don't think, where she didn't like boys. So we'll try to give this person some advice. 585 Live if you want to text in, 585-5483. And we love it when you call in. So if you are, you know, if you'd rather call, please do that, because there's nothing better than hearing your guys' voice. 338-3700. Phone lines are open.
Mm.
I feel so much better today. Yesterday, the whole show, I was a wreck. I just felt tired. I don't know if it was allergies.
Could be, man.
I don't know what it was, or my sleep was all off, or I got too much sleep, or I don't know. But this morning, I feel like a champ. Like, I feel good.
Is it because it's the day? Like, anytime it's Friday, I'm like, it's Friday.
Yeah, but Friday's for
me. It could be the hardest day, but it's Friday. Even though we have a lot to do today, my friend. Got to get ready for that remote tomorrow. Got to get ready for it. I mean, there's so much to do.
Big day, yeah, I guess.
So much to do.
So it's not really a Friday since we have to work tomorrow. Ugh. Now I don't feel good. Thanks, Dave. Thanks a lot, man.
Oh.
Way to crush my Friday.
Okay.
Big show today, guys. 585 Live. When we come back, we'll check traffic out there. And we'll do some headlines Good morning, Starman.
Hey, what's going on in the news today?
100,000 people are expected to descend on Phoenix and suburban Glendale for all the Final Four festivities. With the FanFest Arena open, concerts, the Diamondbacks season opener, and the Suns also home.
Fox News is facing a lawsuit from two employees. They accuse the network of tolerating racial discrimination.
McDonald's says it will replace frozen beef with fresh patties and quarter pounders.
The Senate Intelligence Committee holds its first public hearing into Russian meddling in last year's presidential election.
A federal judge in Hawaii has extended an order blocking enforcement of the president's revised travel ban.
Ivanka Trump is becoming an official government employee and will serve as an unpaid advisor to her father in the White House.
There's been a spike in pedestrian deaths, up 11% last year.
The days of buying things tax-free from Amazon are coming to an end.
In a spacewalk, astronauts lost an important piece of shielding needed for the International Space Station.
North Carolina scraps a law requiring transgender people to use bathrooms corresponding with the sex listed on their birth certificate.
The U.S. Census Bureau says it does not plan to add questions about sexual orientation and gender identity to the 2020 census and other federal surveys.
Shout out to our boy Wooly.
Yeah, dude.
Dude, we love you, Wooly. Brought us some breakfast. Come on. So good. It is 6:37. Oh, man. How long you been in radio?
How long?
29 years?
Why did it have 58 degrees?
You're supposed to finish your food before we jump on the air.
Nah!
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no bigs. Shout out to Wooly, though. Coming down from Denver. He actually bought us breakfast in Denver and drove it all the way down.
Yep.
Here. And then said, I love you. And now he's driving all the way back to Denver.
That's the only reason he came down here.
Yep. We're like, sorry, man. We got a show. We can't hang out.
We gotta go. That dude is incredible.
Yeah, he is.
Taking a look at the roads this early in the morning. Is there anything? Let's see if there's anything going on. You guys good?
Looks pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, there's some regular construction going on, but no accidents to report. Let's look at traffic.
Traffic!
Hey, coming up at 7. This band right here, Bell Biv DeVoe. Hey, make sure you put out a little alert to all the people on our app.
Oh, that's right!
Out of my mind.
Oh.
Miss her, kiss her, love her. That girl is poison.
Bell Biv DeVoe, all three members, Ricky, Michael, and Ronnie, will be on the show, and Steve-O's mom.
What'd you say about my mama?
What?
If I were you,
I'd take precautions
before I step to meet a fine girl.
Man, you nailed
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you know. Cause in some motion,
okay.
Things are the best thing in the world.
Be good. That's Steve-O's first concert.
She's so fly. She'll drive you right out of your mind. Steal your heart.
And I feel like I have to get my first concert on the show.
What was your first concert?
The Goo Goo Dolls, No Doubt.
That was
and
your
Bush.
First concert? Oh, please get that on
yeah,
our
right?
show. Are you kidding me?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah,
that was. I grew up in Montana, so we didn't get concerts very often.
Yeah,
so I wouldn't say. I mean, that was officially my very first cool concert.
That's Bell Biv DeVoe for me. Like when I was a little kid, my quote first concert was like Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and Reba McEntire.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to meet Reba, and she was like my first crush.
Yep.
Shout out to Reba McEntire.
I think Reba McEntire also played. I think she played like the Kids Pond in Ennis, Montana, one time. I don't know. I think I went. Yeah, so we got that at 7 a.m. And you don't want to miss it because, that being Steve-O's first concert, his mom pulled him out of the concert when an inappropriate song started playing.
Guys, we can't even really play that whole song on the morning show.
Oh, we can't play it at all.
I mean
come on.
You can hear me in the morning.
All right, let's jump into some headlines. Oh,
Well, I mean, what do you want me to do? You want me to set up this thing for the app, or you want me to do headlines, bro?
Oh, you know,
I mean,
I'm
you know,
sorry,
it's cool,
bro.
I mean, just let me just go to the news.
Wish you could just do, you know, your job.
It's cool, man.
Didn't have to remind you all the time.
Okay. It's not part of it, bro. What am I, an application specialist?
Yes, you are.
Aren't they called applications? Isn't that why we call them apps?
Applications.
It's an application. Guys, if you don't have our application, make sure you get over to the application store and download it.
Yeah, because shout out to the person who was listening. Where were they listening at? They said it was Vaughn, New Mexico.
Yeah.
I just texted them and said, I didn't send it. Hey, man, download the Star 88 FM app.
Yeah.
We have a brand new app, and it's you can listen right there on your
phone.
It's
legit, yo.
It's buzzing.
Okay. This morning we've been nerding out off air, trying to watch movie trailers, checking out stuff on Spider-Man, and I am so excited to announce this one. The Avengers director, Joss Whedon, who, let's see, Firefly, Nerd Kingdom ruler, amazing guy. He was here for Avengers. Joey got to meet him. I didn't. I was mad. He was at Borders over at Uptown when there was still a Borders. Oh. Now they don't exist. It was really cool. Well, he's decided to make the jump from Marvel to DC.
No way.
Yeah, it was announced yesterday that he is nearing a deal to direct a Batgirl standalone film for Warner Brothers. Are you a fan of Batgirl?
You know, it's funny because I asked you yesterday. I'm like, Batgirl. Like, what is the deal with Batgirl?
You seriously? And I'm like, come on, man, Batgirl. You don't remember Batgirl? You had no idea who I was talking about.
Yeah, and then you brought up Alicia Silverstone back in that old cheesy Batman.
I know
movie that came out, and it was kind of like, oh, okay.
Huh. Come on, man. She
Did
made
she
her...
have a long run?
Yeah, dude. It's Barbara Gordon.
Oh,
that's Jim Gordon's daughter, the Commissioner.
No idea.
Come on, bro. The Commish. Jim Gordon.
Sure, I know that.
Commissioner Gordon. He has a daughter. She's one of the most popular superheroines in the world. Barbara Gordon, actually, in the mythology of Batman, is paralyzed by the Joker. She's shot. She gets shot by the Joker. And it was in The Killing Joke. It was a pretty gnarly graphic novel. He shoots Barbara Gordon, and she lives, but she's paralyzed. And then she becomes the Oracle. But this one, obviously, is pre-all of that. He's going to be shaking it up, man, and he's going on to direct a live-action Batgirl film. Now, of course, this is connected to the DC Extended Universe, so Wonder Woman, Justice League, Aquaman, which is due out December 2018. In fact, yesterday, Jason Momoa just posted on his Instagram that he's getting set to start filming Aquaman.
Nice.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
So they're doing some stuff. DC's development list includes sequels to Suicide Squad. They're going to do an adaptation to Gotham City Sirens, which will star Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. Gotham City Sirens followed Catwoman, Poison Ivy, and Harley Quinn. They were like, yeah.
Okay.
Bad guys, but not. So solo Batgirl filmed, unsure when it will release as of now, but... Also, don't forget a solo Batman film planned for 2019. So
did you say who they got
trying.
For Batgirl?
No. They just tapped Joss Whedon to direct it. So they haven't... No casting, no anything. I hope it's Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah. And she's too old to play now.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's our age.
Yeah. That's... Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
New in theaters today on this Friday, Ghost in the Shell. Play the trailer. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Do not play the trailer. Scarlett Johansson plays a cyborg in a futuristic anti-terrorist unit that hunts down terrorists who can hack into people's brains. But when she gets deeper into her mission, she realizes, wait, my whole existence is a lie.
Matrix!
Kind of. Not really. Basically, her old life was stolen from her, and now she's got to find out who's responsible.
It's funny, Landon, we were watching TV the other day and that trailer came on and he goes, she's naked. I'm like, yeah, she, because it kind of freaks you out for a second when she takes her jacket off.
Well, in the original anime, she was.
Yeah, and so like, you're, what?
Yeah, and you're like, whoa, girl. That's why. Yeah, well, it's because I think the idea was she could go invisible and so she couldn't have anything on. And so now they're like, let's make it a fleshy suit. You know?
It's yeah,
like,
that's.
Well. still pretty, yeah, it's rated PG-13, by the way. And then on the PG end of things, The Boss Baby also releasing today. Animated movie starring Alec Baldwin as a new baby in the house who wears a suit, talks, carries a briefcase. You know, sounds terrible.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Look who's talking!
What? No.
Oh.
No, because the baby actually talks and wears a suit, not like Bruce Willis. They need to do another Look Who's Talking.
Yeah, that's a good call. Those are pretty good movies.
No, dude!
I liked them.
Oh, yeah, when you were like 7.
Yeah.
Speaking of Belle Biv DeVoe coming up, 7 a.m. Belle Biv DeVoe. A local organization is partnering up to provide healthy local food. This is awesome, man. Two local groups are behind a new farm making sure New Mexicans don't go hungry. Food Karma, they're the creators of Karma Cafe and Dig and Serve, a pop-up diner company, have recently partnered up to feed more people. They've developed a farm that will serve as a direct source for local organic ingredients that they say will cut costs to everything. So they hope to be able to reach more people in need through Karma Cafe, the Karma Cafe food truck, Dig and Serve pop-up diners, and even education. Quote, we'd like to implement some food education programs, whether that's surrounding the growing process and production, or if that's food service learning skills, kitchen skills, restaurant industry knowledge. That, according to Wade McCullough, founder of Food Karma. They say you're going to be able to see the partnership in action at the Downtown Growers Market starting in April, which is tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah, the organization right now currently raising money through GoFundMe to purchase kitchen equipment to help with costs at the farm. So they've already raised $9,000. And they say that this partnership's going to create a few jobs, which
that's
is cool.
Cool.
Shout out to Albuquerque doing cool stuff in the local community.
Heck,
I like
that.
So
nobody should ever go hungry, right?
Right. No, exactly. That's why we do things like Mission New Mexico and try and partner up with rad organizations in town to, provide food, provide resources, to provide. Yeah.
If you're a local business that, you sell food. At the end of the day, when you throw out all that food, maybe you should look into donating that food to some of the local organizations.
I saw something on Facebook yesterday that I was just blown away by. There's that Free Stuff ABQ. It's like a group where you can give away free stuff. And yesterday, somebody like actually went dumpster diving, if you will. Like, I don't know a better way to say it. Because they found a bunch of food that had been tossed out that was still good.
Really?
Yeah, I know that
sounds
weird.
From a restaurant or something?
It was in the back of a Whole Foods, I believe. But it was like, hey, 20 bags of organic mixed greens, dumpstered from Whole Foods, perfectly good. They definitely need to be eaten within the next few days. We're in the UNM area. Please come pick it up. So
that's what I'm talking about. Stuff like that, it doesn't take very much for you to send somebody down to drop it off at one of the shelters.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of great businesses that do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anyway.
They always need more.
Yeah. Moving on. Before we move on, somebody actually, that's cool, man. Somebody said, God put this on my heart for a while now, finally pulling the trigger, and they have a GoFundMe to, help give the homeless a fresh start. Dream Clean. Oh.
Oh.
That's like showers.
No way.
And a trailer. Yeah.
So
here in the community.
A listener is trying to, raise $40,000 for this.
Yeah. Thing. They'd like to help the homeless community here in Albuquerque. Giving them the opportunity to shower, launder their clothes, give them a fresh start that they need. It's a mobile shower laundry trailer.
No way.
Yeah.
That's one of the things when I got to stay at the Albuquerque Rescue Mission was when you got a room, when you were the lucky one that got a room, you got to take a shower.
Yeah.
Some of those people haven't taken showers in months.
Yeah,
on
this it says 1/3 of all homeless people who get lucky enough to receive a job lose that job within the first 30 days due to hygiene issues.
Yeah.
So
that is really cool. And you know what? We definitely want to support that for sure.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Thank you for sending that in. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, they should have no problem raising that $40,000.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
You say that.
Well, we
should. So many people chiming in this morning. Good morning, Starmie.
Good morning.
We're so excited. Moving on. A guy blames his arrest on bad legal advice from his lawyer. No, just kidding. Wikipedia. Yeah. Wikipedia was the answer.
Gotta be careful, Steve-O.
I think most of us are too trusting of Wikipedia, seriously, considering their entire mission statement is like, hey, idiot, you want to write this for us? cool, man. We're trusting you. A 22-year-old dude named Justin Moret got pulled over in Port St. Lucia, Florida. Lucy? Anyways.
Lucy.
He blew through a stop sign. The cop found Justin had a suspended license and no insurance, so he was arrested for, you know, driving with a suspended license and without insurance. Here's the thing. As the police officer was putting him in the cop car, Justin complained, quote, "That's the last time I listened to Wikipedia about driving. It said I would just get a ticket." Yeah, no, he's in jail, man.
Yeah, he's in jail.
Driving on a suspended license, no insurance, will definitely put you in jail. He's going to be in court in 2 weeks for a hearing.
Yeah.
His defense is stupid. Wow. Wikipedia. We mentioned this a couple days ago, Crayola announcing that it's ditching a color. They announced which color it is.
No!
That's wrong.
No, it's true. Just a few days ago, Crayola announced they'd be retiring one of their colors from the box of 24. They've killed off colors before, but never one from, like, the core group of 24. And they announced which one it is. Dandelion is dead!
I really love dandelion.
Really?
Yeah.
What color is it?
Yellow.
Yeah. But here's the thing, man. It's... Are you really going to miss it?
Yeah.
Is it possible for any adult to miss a crayon?
You're right. I haven't used crayons in years. I don't really care.
Dandelion got promoted to the box of 24 in 1990. The box will still have colors like, I don't know, yellow, orange, yellow, orange, apricot, green, yellow. That's a lot of yellow. For real. Here's some yellow. Mellow yellow. Yellow snow.
I love yellow snow. That's my favorite Crayola crayon.
I made up some of those. However, they don't need dandelion anymore. They're going to announce what color they're replacing it with sometime today.
And you know what, Steve-O? I think we know the real reason why Crayola killed the dandelion color.
First, it was the removal of certain Monopoly tokens. Then Crayola decided to kill off the color dandelion. But the corporate attack on childhood nostalgia isn't over. Tomorrow, April 1st, Milton Bradley is removing the yellow dots from Twister so as not to offend Asian Americans. Oh. Candyland will be banned because it promotes childhood obesity. The classic game Jax will be called Persons to accommodate the transgendered. It's time to stand up, America. Let your voice be heard. Join the coalition of iconic themes and universal symbols. COITUS. Coitus. Don't be played for a fool. Tomorrow, April 1st, tell your congressman you love coitus. Put an I Heart Coitus bumper sticker on your car and be sure to bring up the subject of coitus at your next PTA meeting.
I have bumper stickers if you'd like one.
No, dude.
$5, be selling them after the show. Start a movement, guys.
Next.
I think it's a serious issue. I think we should continue to talk about this. No?
Next.
Okay.
Here's... I'm trying so hard to read the next thing. Here's a few tips for pulling a good April Fool's Day prank. Put some decent effort in. Don't tempt fate by saying someone died or that you're pregnant.
Yeah, don't do that.
And don't do anything that would ruin someone's career or relationship. These are all bad.
April Fool's.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Be on guard. Be on guard.
Yeah. Man. Moving on. I can't get past that. The damage that the characters have done to the vehicles and buildings in the first 7 Fast and the Furious movies would total $514 million in real money.
Holy guacamole. $514 million? You know what? You can't hold it together. Let's take a break. Because you know who's coming up, Steve-O?
Yeah!
You need to start, you know, pulling yourself together.
Man, I gotta get myself together.
We have Belle Biv DeVoe. And we gotta get your mom on the phone. Because
we do.
Yeah. Steve-O and his mom went to see Belle Biv DeVoe back when he was 12. It was his first concert. And Steve-O's mom pulled him from the concert because of one of their songs. So we're going to get his mom on the phone while we interview Belle Biv DeVoe. And we got to bring up the story.
Yeah, we're going to. They're going to apologize to my mama. All right. Happening.
So we'll interview Belle Biv DeVoe when we come back.
April 1st is almost here. Are you ready? We sure are. We're the
April Fool's Superstore.
The April Fool's Superstore. We've got whoopee cushions, hand buzzers, the world's foremost collection of fake dog poop. You pick the breed, we've got the poop. Or maybe your pranks need to be bigger. We have tripwire, saran wrap for the toilet, floating cigars, fake pregnancy tests, fake winning lottery tickets.
I won!
Or, for the hugest of pranksters, misfiring ammunition.
Nice.
And the king of them all, fake bank robbery costumes.
Nobody move!
If you can fool only some of the people some of the time, you haven't been to the
April Fool's Superstore!
Operators are standing by in fake mustaches. Fake money not accepted for purchases. Locations may vary. For believability, Juggalo makeup not recommended for people with an IQ above 90.
Answer that phone, Steve-O.
Oh, I'm answering that phone.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
David! Oh, David, you are about to experience what is going to be the best interview of all time.
I cannot wait.
Thank you, David.
Seriously.
Hold on one second. I'll put you guys through.
Okay.
Ricky, Michael, Ronnie from Belle Biv DeVoe.
Hey, okay, Dexter, Steve-O, you are on with Belle Biv DeVoe.
What's up, guys? Good morning.
Let's go. Good morning.
Dude, y'all don't even know how excited I am right now. I got to tell you guys.
Yo, listen, we're feeling all of your energy.
Good. Okay, good. Because, man, I got to tell you, the time was 1991. I was 12 years old. And my favorite band in the entire universe, they're called Belle Biv DeVoe. They were coming through Albuquerque, New Mexico with Key Sweat, Johnny Gill, and I said, Mom, I gotta go to this. I was like this 12-year-old kid that, like, I didn't know how to airbrush, so I would marker my name on my pants. I was part of the East Coast family, do you feel me? Like, I was all up in it. I was a huge fan of everything you guys were doing, and my mom took me to the show.
Listen. As long as you didn't have poison airbrushed on your backside, everything.
Is So here's the thing. Who's that?
I don't. Is that on our end?
I don't know. Man, we got to make sure we get this going. So
you guys still there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Still, we heard a buzzing
still there.
Noise.
I know, right? So here's the thing. We actually got to go to this show, and I'm like rocking my pants with my name on it, and it's like, we're chill, it's great, Keith Sweat, Johnny Gill, they do their thing. Well, as a 12-year-old kid, I can't go alone to a show like this, so who do I take to this concert but my mom? Now, my mom has no idea what's about to happen because she's not like... She doesn't know Belle Biv DeVoe. You know what I mean? So,
right. So
y'all start doing some crazy fun stuff. And I actually have my mom on the phone right now. Mom, are you there on the phone?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Y'all, can you hear my mama?
We sure can.
Hey, good morning.
There you go.
Hey, good morning.
So, Mom, you can take the story over from here. What happened? Belle Biv DeVoe comes out. They're my favorite band on the planet. They're throwing down. They're doing their thing. And then what happened next, Mom?
Well, first of all, I took you and your brother and your sister.
Right.
Because,
right. These are details that don't matter, Mom. Come on. You got to get to the point. You got to.
Okay. And then... they start performing and everything's fine until they start singing this one song. Uh-huh.
It's called Do Me, Mom. Okay. You can do it. You're a grown up.
I can't say that on the radio.
I mean, I know, but I mean, that's how I'm here, so it's okay, Mom.
Now, I know. And so here I am with my three kids, and they start doing that song, and then all of a sudden they started stripping.
Yep. Oh. Yep. Yeah.
And here I am trying to cover Sarah's eyes. And I marched you guys out of the stadium.
She did. She marched me out of the stadium, and I didn't get to see the end of the show. So I just need you guys to, one, apologize to my mama, and then, two, if you could just tell me how the show ended, because I missed it, because this lovely little Baptist lady grabbed me by the ear and pulled me out of the show so fast. So go ahead, y'all. Y'all work it out.
Oh, my God.
No? No?
Well, the show ended, yeah, but, I mean, sorry about that, Mom. Anyway.
Okay.
The show ended great. Doomy was maybe probably one of the second, maybe a third to last song. If I remember correctly, I think we did Smile Again before that. And so we did Doomy, we rocked out to that, and of course we ended the show with the banger with Poison.
See, and I missed it.
You missed
my
Poison.
Favorite song. That is like my karaoke jam to this day. Oh, anyway, Mom.
Right.
Mom, does that suffice? I mean, Michael, Ricky, Ronnie, they apologize, Mom. Is that cool?
You guys were great. My kids were just young, and I just said, I think we're out of here. So here I am trying to cover your sister's eyes because she was younger, and trying to get all three of you out of there.
Thank you, Mom.
Oh, my God.
Without too much damage, you know?
That's good. That's good. Thank you. You taught me well, Mama. You taught me well.
All right. Well, you guys have a... God bless you guys.
There you go. Have a great day, Mom. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Love you guys.
All right. Okay, now we can get to the real interview.
That was amazing. All right.
Hey, you know what, though, guys? I just want to thank you because you guys gave me some good advice young. I never trusted a big button to smile because of you. So good. It's good.
Wow. Thank you.
Dude, how are y'all doing? Thank you so much for that. That was hilarious. But honestly, man, you guys got a new record, first record in 16 years, and we are so stoked about it. Let's talk about this.
Yeah,
it's
called
What
Are You Playing?
Which one are we? We got Run right now. Speak up, we got Run.
That's the first. That's the first banger from the Three Stripes LP, produced by Eric Sermon. We got 10 joints on there. That's just extra incredible. KG from Naughty by Nature is on there. Dougie Fresh, SWD. Voice Men. Definitely solicited the partnerships and friends that we've been rocking with over the years to help us make an incredible project.
Man.
Right.
Incredible, man. Excited about that, and hopefully that means, like, because it seems like right now, you know, we got the 90s making a swing huge, which of course everybody loves the 90s. Are you kidding me? So we got Naughty by Nature coming through Albuquerque in July, and so does that mean Biv DeVoe can make their return to the ABQ so that I can actually see Poison live? Just maybe.
Absolutely. It's up to you, man. We like people to know our songs when we perform them. It definitely just helps out the show, of course. And I'm sure everyone's got the classic album Poison. You know, we're going to probably do every song on there. But the new joint, we need y'all to play it so they can learn it, know it. I'm better. We got the single right now is with SWD called Finally.
Yes.
So, yeah, man, we want y'all to pick up that Three Stripes album so we can add Albuquerque onto the schedule and slide through there. Yeah. Hopefully sometime this summer.
Dude, that would be... There you go. There you go. Mm. So when did you guys know? Like, I mean, as we said, this is the first record in 16 years. Obviously, you guys didn't just stop making music, stop doing things. But when did you know, like, it was time to rock a new Bell Biv DeVoe record?
When the Run record was done, we tested it, and it got a really great response. You know, a lot of the mixed DJs played it on their own, and it took on a life of its own. But it's been out there since July of last year, so the good thing is, I guess, it's still being played and still being heard. And the album, we caught it down in like 3 weeks. You know, we buckled down and we thought we made the right product. We think it's, you know, the best album to date after the Poison album, to be honest with you, song for song. So hopefully one day you guys will go through the CD and play the song you think fits your market and what you think will make them rock, because there's a little bit of everything for everybody on the album. So we just tell people to get it, enjoy it, play it, and find your favorite and tell a friend about it.
We're talking with Bell Biv DeVoe right now. This is what I want to know. You know, you guys are out touring right now, and how different is it now touring as far as like the crowd? You know, everybody's got a smartphone and an iPad, and is it a lot different now than it was back in the day, back in the 90s when you guys were doing tours and playing shows? Is it a lot different, the crowd, or do you see it being a lot the same? Is it technology, or what is it?
I would say the energy in the crowd is definitely the same. People appreciate classic material, and they appreciate the fact that we love what we do, and we put time, energy, and effort into making sure that we give the best show possible. But, you know, after that first show on the tour, the anticipation for it to come to the second, the third, the 10th, and the 15th city is almost gone, because they can look on YouTube or Instagram, or actually they could even look on Facebook Live and see the show as it's going down. So I think the anticipation factor is a little, you know, dormant or what have you. But then to a certain extent, it kind of excites the masses as well. So I don't know, man. It's interesting. But, you know, back in the day, you know, Albuquerque, like you said, we would probably have to 20,000 seater, you know. Right now we sitting at the 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 seater, you know, still rocking and rolling to sold out crowds across the country, man. And we're looking to come back that way. I'm sure you guys have a mad big radio show that we need to slide Bell Biv DeVoe up in that lineup somewhere. So they're still coming out and enjoying the classics, man.
Beautiful.
Yes, guys. Go ahead.
You go ahead, man.
No, I was going to say, but the answer to your question, I don't think people watch the show. They watch the show through their cameras now. You're right.
Yeah.
They go. They're watching the concert through their phone.
Right.
So it has changed, and you know, and it's cool. But at some point in time, you know, you do want to just look at it and enjoy it, but that ain't going to stop no time soon, because people turn around and put their camera to the stage so you can see that they're at the show or what seat they're in, and that's actually the new experience for anybody's concert. Mm-hmm. So it's the world definitely has changed. The concert going, the fan is a little more engaged.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, guys. Bell Biv DeVoe, they got the new album out. It's called Three Stripes. And finally, with SWV, I'm going to play that.
Yeah,
we're going to play that going out.
There you go. Word.
Awesome. Thank you
guys so much for your time.
Appreciate it.
All right. Man. That was awesome.
Awesomely terrible.
That was so uncomfortable, man. It was so awkward.
It was probably my favorite.
Oh, my gosh.
First 5 minutes were my favorite.
Yeah,
5 minutes
that was pretty good.
They didn't know what to do. They absolutely did not know what to do. What doesn't help is when you have an interview with multiple people and it's just
so
on speakerphone.
It is so hard.
And it's like, yeah, go ahead. Y'all want to talk?
Yeah. I don't know why
any
they do
of
that.
You?
Yeah, they should
Ricky
never
Bell?
Do that.
Ronnie DeVoe?
Yeah.
Michael Bivins?
That's the worst.
Yes, this question is from Michael Bivins.
If you missed it, we just got off the phone with Bell Biv DeVoe, and we actually got Steve-O's mom on the phone, and they apologized to your mom.
They were stripping in front of my mama!
Oh, yeah, they were. Speak up, 'cause girl, I can't. That is so funny. Gosh.
I didn't even remember that part, to be honest. We were on the phone with my mom before the break, and I'm like, Mom, we got Bell Biv DeVoe. I need them to apologize to you for making you uncomfortable, and we had to leave my first favorite concert.
I love it.
And then she's like, well, it's because they were stripping.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even remember that.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, Becca from Bear Canyon CrossFit will be joining us.
Yes.
If you guys have any questions about fitness, health, the gym, 585 Live, you can text them in. Sidewalk Profits, Prodigal, Star 88. Good morning. Dexon Stevo, 7:15.
High today of 58 degrees. Traffic! Well, no accidents to report, but unfortunately there's traffic everywhere because there's construction everywhere. 12th Street between Indian School and Manaw, there's some road construction. I-40 frontage road west at 12th Street as well. Here on Jefferson, it's tragic. All throughout Central, at least one lane is closed. Basically all the way up to Louisiana Boulevard at Central. That actually is closed. All traffic in both directions must turn right on Central. San Mateo or Wyoming is your alternative there. It's closed, part of the Albuquerque Rapid Transit Construction Project. Oh, of course, that's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Good morning, Becca.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Becca is a coach at Bear Canyon CrossFit.
Welcome.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, gosh.
Welcome to the program, Sleepy Eyes.
Yes.
You got sleepy eyes, man.
I got sleepy eyes. I got about 3 hours of sleep. I had a bad night with my one-year-old.
Oh.
She's just fussy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I cater to her too much. I've done this 3 times, and I thought, like, by the 3rd, I got this down. She's going to sleep through the night.
Yeah.
It's still not happening.
Yeah.
The worst.
I'm here, though. You know,
you get it.
If you would laugh at my antics. Somebody followed me with a camera, me sneaking around in the morning trying to get here.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I literally, like, on my tiptoes, like, close all the doors.
Yeah.
And I make sure, you know, I sneak downstairs and I, yeah, very
quiet. Do you have a fan?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a lifesaver.
All the time. Didn't work last night.
No.
I had a lot of coffee and then I went to Starbucks again and got some more coffee.
No!
Gosh. It's terrible. Well, you'll be fine.
I actually had a really good experience. So I was at Starbucks today, and I don't normally go to Starbucks.
Right.
I eat at home. Yeah. I don't have I'm a stay-at-home mom except when I work at the gym. And as I was there making healthy choices, I got breakfast for
I love that you say that.
Two.
As I was making healthy choices.
Like, this is like the one time this week. I had a bad week. We'll talk about it in a second.
Yes! This makes me happy that you had
exhausted.
A bad week.
Is
that bad?
Well, I'm not here to enable you. I'm here to confess. And then and then there's a happy ending. So anyway, we'll get
Perfect.
To that.
Perfect.
Somebody bought me our breakfast.
Oh, really? Oh,
it's never happened to me. I used to go to Starbucks. It's never happened to me. So, of course, I went and I paid for the person behind me the coffee.
That's cool.
And it was really cool.
Yeah.
Paying it forward. Were they bummed when you're like, I'm getting this for like 3 people? I'm sorry. They're like, ooh, I'll pay for hers. It's just one little girl.
Oh, look at her. She doesn't eat much. She doesn't eat much.
Like, I will take 3 spinach wraps.
Yeah. $20 later.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
I got some encouragement for you. I know you said you had a bad week, but I'll tell you, I've had a pretty terrible week as well. But
that sounds encouraging.
Yeah. No. The Open ended last weekend, and for those that, you know, we've talked about it before, but 5 weeks, and it's pretty intense, and it's this crazy, you know, different workout every single week, and I almost didn't even go to the last one because I hadn't been to the gym all week, unfortunately, because we were out of town, and, you know, so I was like determined,
there's
like,
no working out,
right? So I was like, I'm gonna get a hotel, like some cool quick workouts in the hotel, and we got a gym. Never did.
Oh, yeah.
And so I really didn't want to do the Open because I knew it was just gonna hurt. And so I went in there on Saturday thinking, I already had a bad attitude. And I
yes,
have a,
he did.
Yeah, I do. And I have a bad left shoulder, and I started doing it, and I tweaked something and I was in so much pain. It was like, I think I'm done. And I wanted to call it. And I really was planning on just going, cause I didn't know who my judge was. Never met her before in my life. And so, right? So it's already, I'm already just like, and there's no real, like, you can do it. Encourage, nothing's going on. So I'm like, you know what?
Everybody's dying.
Why do I need
workout.
To be here? Yeah. Why am I here? I'm done. Yes. I think I'm going to call it. And then you must have seen that because all of a sudden here you come, doop, 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 doop. And you're like, hey, you're doing a great job. You can do it. It's your shoulder, isn't it? Yes. Well, if it was any more weight, I'd say to stop, but you can do 65 pounds. So pick that bar back up. And it was like, okay.
Yep.
And then I finished. And I mean, I was still wanting to die at the end of it, but I picked it back up and I finished, and it was because of your encouragement that I was actually able to finish, because in my brain, I was toast.
Mm.
I knew I was done
And I was going to just say, just count my reps now, I'm done, because my shoulder was in so much pain.
Yeah.
And somehow I just kind of barreled through. And I was able to. So yeah.
Good job, Becca.
Thanks, oh, man. Gosh.
That's what's great about having coaches there and, you know, doing classes instead of just going to the gym, working out by yourself. You have that encouragement.
Yep.
When you guys are yelling in our faces saying, you can do it, it helps.
Oh, it helps with all of us. Yeah. I need the same encouragement because we're all fighting at a different level. I mean, yeah. I fight every single time. I literally have to – I need somebody in my face. And sometimes because I'm a coach over there, some people don't think like, oh, she's got it. She needs that encouragement. But then those people will come stand right in front of me and get going. One more rep, two more reps, three more reps. Because it's such a mind game sometimes.
It is.
Especially with the CrossFit games, those workouts are – awful. What Steve-O was doing was a thruster. Yeah, it's basically a front squat and an overhead press. So he's cleans into a front squat. He does a front squat of 65 pounds, and then he drives hard and pushes that weight overhead. So he's sitting down, standing back up, sitting down, standing back up, and it was 10 rounds. So that was 90 thrusters.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I was wondering if you and Leslie did it.
I never did it.
90 thrusters and 350 jump rope.
Yeah.
350.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
10 rounds of that. So it was like 10 rounds of 35 and 9. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Well, you did it, buddy.
Yeah.
Be proud of yourself.
And then I was like, I did it. I'm done until next year's open. I'm not coming back to the gym ever again.
Yeah, and now he's got this tattoo, and he's like, I got a tattoo now. I can't go to the gym.
Oh, yeah, let's see what the workout is.
I kept telling him yesterday, there's things you can do, man, to modify. You don't have to use that arm, man.
You don't have to use
that
arm.
That's a great thing about CrossFit. Uh-huh. You don't have to use that arm.
You don't have to use that arm.
The devil's ride. I mean, there's so many things he could do.
We could just put you on the rower.
One-arm push-ups.
Whoa. Do a 3,000-meter row.
Why do you hate me? You know that's my least favorite thing.
Because you need to get it in. No. Otherwise, you're... jerk like me. I got to the gym twice this week. I actually worked out at the gym twice this week.
Wow, and you're like a coach.
Oh,
like
man.
You're supposed to be doing stuff.
So is that usually?
It was a rough week. It doesn't happen very often. And it threw me off.
Yeah.
I almost went all the way down the hole, because it's like when you miss the gym, you're okay, so I'm gonna go eat a cheeseburger because it's almost like it's self harm. I was talking to my sister about this last night. We start stressing out, and you miss the gym, and then you start making it goes downhill from there. But so this is the thing about being in the CrossFit community, guys. I need to be at the gym to work out. I associate it with like getting away from my kids and having that 1 hour where I'm not hearing babies crying. And because if I try at home, the kids are not in the same schedule.
No,
and they're so little. They're not in the same schedule. Yeah. Somebody wakes up. I don't have that. I mean, there's one of those wonderful days where they're all sleeping at the same time. And I'm not usually going to work out.
Yeah, exactly.
I like
you're
going to
sleep.
I'm either going to sleep or catch up, you know, anyway. So it was awful.
No, that's
I made
important.
Some bad eating choices.
Yeah.
And I had Wednesday was a bad
you're
day.
Here. We're going to talk about it. We got people already asking you questions. So you're going to help other people so that you're
Let's
not like
this.
Weird and mopey.
I think that's such a great reminder
just get
for the moms
it.
Out there. You know?
Yeah. That See, have, now, that now you feel, now, how do you feel, Steve-O, when Steve-O comes in the gym? This is Steve-O, weird and mopey. Oh, I didn't work out this week, guys. And then he does it.
Yeah.
Dex doesn't complain.
Yeah.
He comes in, he just works out.
Yeah. I'm a complainer.
It's just who
I am. But that's why we all help each other. That's the community.
Yeah. And which is funny because I complain a lot less than I used to. I used to be, I'm negative Nancy, man. And so I'm trying.
And it's funny because my wife's a lot like Steve-O in a way where she likes to point out things or, you know, she'll complain. And I'm kind of the opposite where I don't want to complain because I don't want to get frustrated or, you know, just blah, you know? I just want to do what I got to do and get out.
Don't overthink it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I overthink everything.
Or start being conscious of what people are doing around you. You got to just block it out.
Right.
So we have a few people chiming in.
Okay.
Speaking of CrossFit, somebody actually said, hey guys, this is my second week doing CrossFit.
Yay.
I've been having bad shoulder pain. Not yay.
Oh.
I'm thinking it's from clean and jerks. Any suggestions to help this?
Oh gosh!
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so it's probably a little
could it be
inflamed.
Bad form?
It could be bad form.
Yeah, that's the first thing
I thought of. That's if they're. I don't know if they're first. Okay, so if they just started CrossFit.
Yeah.
Have they done clean and jerks before? Because we have people that just start CrossFit have done Olympic lifting before. Inflammation. Take it easy. It happens.
Could they still be sore?
It doesn't matter if it's bodybuilding or whatever your sport is. You're going to get some kind of inflammation.
Yeah.
You're doing too much of the same thing.
Yeah.
Fish oil, I recommend highly help inflammation. And take a break.
Sweet burps after that. Sweet fish oil.
Oh, man, it's
burps.
Like lubricant, though, to your joints.
All right.
So good.
See, I used to think that because I can differentiate now when my shoulder's actually in pain or when I haven't worked to that. Because at first,
that's good.
I thought I had shoulder pain, and Matt, Teo was like, dude, you've never used these muscles. I think you're just sore. Let's try and work this out and let's figure it out. And then when I actually heard it, like I kind of like popped funny.
Sharp pain.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, that's a totally different pain. No, I actually hurt my shoulder. So I agree, because I think there are times where it's like, I don't know, man, I think I did something. And you realize you've never really used this muscle before. It's sore, you worked a muscle you don't normally work and it's going to get sore. So
it's really important. You're moving things that you haven't moved in a long time. Mobilize, stretch out, get blood flow into that area.
And I would talk to their coach wherever you are going, whatever gym you're at. If
please talk communicate to them that.
Yeah, say pain. Hey, the pain is here, because it could be something as simple as adjusting your form. Because I think that was part of the problem for my initial shoulder problems, was because I didn't have proper technique, proper training, proper form, because I hadn't gone through like a foundations type course or anything yet.
Yeah.
Which was stupid on my part, because I'm like, well, I've done CrossFit before, so I can just get down on the floor and blah.
Which is why we actually require at now, the gym. Yeah, you have to first come into our gym. You have to. I don't care where you're coming from. Yeah.
Which makes sense. It's like heavy lifting.
Well, it makes
lifting.
You feel great about your lifting. Becomes familiar. You have to.
I always think they should do that at gyms in general. I was watching a video this past week. This guy was on, it's what, the machine where you're laying down and you're doing the push.
Oh, I saw that video.
Did
leg
you see
press.
That? Yeah, he was doing the leg
he
press.
He locked out his knees is what he did.
He locked it out and his whole
never
knee
lock out your
buckled.
Knees.
And it was the grossest thing I've ever seen videos. In my life.
I saw that off that. Oh, he can't help it. He can't look away.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, this guy's doing all the weight. Little tiny presses, not full range of motion, and then he locks out his knees at who knows how much weight, because he was using all the weight in the gym on that leg press.
He's probably showing off. Yeah. No business doing that weight. And they should teach people at gyms how to use that equipment.
Yes.
You know?
Somebody watching out. No, they just have people sign a waiver and say, oh, good luck,
Yeah.
I think that's what it comes down to, what you said. You talk to somebody. It's that person's responsibility to be like, can you help me with this?
Yeah.
Somebody's qualified.
Yeah.
Find somebody with
wherever
you're at.
It's 2017, so nowadays people are like, oh, I don't know how to do this. YouTube. And that's where they learn technique and form is by watching a video. And it's like, no, dude. Now, that can be helpful if you actually have a coach already, because Jake, one of the coaches at our place, like, he's got an iPad and he's like filming you so that he can in turn show you what you are doing.
So it's a really cool app called Coach's Eye. And it breaks down every little movement.
And
shows
you hate
it. Slow-mo.
Yeah.
Here's exactly why you're terrible at this.
We'll do that.
Yeah. I saw the side view of myself and I was like, so fat.
Stop it right now.
Oh my God.
So fat. You're so dumb.
He's not.
Man, I'm so fat. Please don't video me again.
585 live is the text line. That's 585-5483 if you'd like to text in. Somebody chimed in and said, yo, Becca, I'm in college in my fourth year of my chemistry degree. Super proud of that. I've been blessed to still be able to live with my parents and have them support me. I exercise as much as possible. However, by the time everything is said and done, I'm exhausted. Do you have any advice for eating healthy when you're not the one cooking?
Hey, Mom.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, that's what, since you're a full grown adult, maybe help with the groceries. And this is what I do with my, let me tell you what I do with my mom, because she cooks for my kids. And I bring, when I have her watch my kids, she's my babysitter when I go to the gym. I drive her, I shop and I take stuff over there. And say, because it's kind of hard. Like, they say beggars can't be choosers. But you know what? You want your mom to eat just as healthy as you're eating, right?
Okay.
I mean, it's time to educate.
Yeah.
If you know better.
So you're like, hey, let's get some sweet potatoes and asparagus in here.
Well, with everything, I was reading. So my mom had this yellow cake mix. She made a cake last night for somebody on their team with her company. And I was like, reading off the back of the ingredients to her with this cake mix. And I was like, enrich this, high sugar, high fructose corn syrup, nothing, it wasn't real food. And so I went and I bought three cake mixes. Yeah. And I was like, because if she's looking for something easy, you know, because she doesn't have time to make, you know, like we did when we were kids, stuff from scratch. And anyway, support your mom. You want your mom to be healthy, too.
Go grocery shopping with your mom.
Go grocery shopping with your mom.
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe buy those veggies yourself.
My mom's got some old habits. She's made the same stuff over and over again for us. And
Gosh, I miss my mom's cooking. I do.
Oh, man, I don't at all.
Best meals.
Gosh, I miss my mom, but not her cooking at all. Love my mom.
Okay. So my mom's probably listening.
Dude.
Well, she got mad at me last night for
saying bad things about her cooking.
Yeah. I was like, Mom, this is not like going like God. He's just like, now you know, because you're responsible for what you know. You don't bless this food.
Right. No, please change the molecular structure of this terrible food I'm eating in Jesus' name.
I was reading the back of the box. I was being totally obnoxious.
Yeah. I've been that guy. Like, and I'm trying not to be, because man, it when I first started it kind of consumed me, though. You know what I mean? Well, it's like, this much sodium and this much this and how come this? And I'm like, I don't even know what all of this means. Why am I being such a snob about this right now?
Yeah.
But yeah. So
I have been there, too. But my mom, she knows. You know, Mom.
Mom, you know, Mom.
She's freaking amazing. Yeah. And I was listening to you guys talk about the guy that was doing dumpster diving.
Yeah.
So I've said this over. I have six siblings. We grew up, you know, and I wouldn't say poorly, but we had some difficult times.
Yeah.
And my mom didn't exactly dumpster dive, but they would used to, you know, at the grocery store, she would see them throwing away all these vegetables.
Right.
And now at Smith's, you'll see them like the dollar section. They have them in like red bags, like organic food. She used to go and I wouldn't say beg, but she would go and she'd ask them. Because she still wanted to eat healthy vegetables. Yeah. She had some kind of, you know, she just had some kind of, you know, she didn't want to just feed us all processed. Yeah. We weren't, we're the seven of us.
Yeah.
And, she would go and say, you're going to throw that out. Like, here are my children.
Right. Here are my seven.
Here's my tribe.
I can't imagine and what that would be like. Seven kids having to feed.
It was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. It was awesome. She really just trusted God with it.
I feel like you have to, I don't want to say have to eat healthy, but it would be really expensive to not eat healthy with a family that large.
We never ate out.
Right.
We always cooked at home.
You just couldn't. Yeah.
We never ate out.
It's always fun hanging out with our friend, the Clopez family, because there's so many Clopez.
Really?
Yeah, there's so many of them. So you've got a table of 10. Like, so there's 12, with mom and dad, and then you bring in like the Jeter crew, and it's like, I mean, and everybody fits in this giant table, but it's just like, so you got to cook a large amount of food. Yeah. Yes. You know what I mean? So
it's I'm in the habit of making a ton of food because I still cook for the family because we all took turns cooking. My mom had us organized, lined up, chores, food. Yeah. I mean, she had a great system, which I don't even have with three. Right? She had a great system, but I still cook in bulk. Like I cook huge pans of food and then I end up actually giving her stuff.
That's what I'm doing now is, you know, I've been cooking as much as I can. And then that way it's like the meal prep, you know, I have the breakfast and the lunch and, you know, kids, of course, they have a hard time eating the leftovers. But for me, I'm like, don't eat my leftovers because I need that for the week, you know?
Yep, exactly. And we had to eat everything on our plate. We had to eat everything on our plate. We were not allowed to leave the table, whether we liked it or not. That was never a choice. And I said, I'm going to do that with my kids. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah, that's so bad. Enough, I'll finish it.
It's so bad if you really think about it, you know, because I believe that's kind of what contributed to me overeating. Because I would be full, and then my mom or dad would be like, no, you need to finish that plate. And it was
gosh. Don't say that. I feel so terrible. But now Brody, he's four, and he knows that if he says, but my tummy hurts, I'm full.
Oh, he's got
to. And he gets to go sit on the couch and watch TV. And I'm like, no, you've eaten like three bites. So I don't know. Like, there's got to be a balance.
Well, I think if you're doing a good job of giving them, you know, the portion, a good portion size that isn't going to contribute to that. But man, back in the day, it would be like mashed potatoes, chicken fried steak. Baked potatoes.
Heaping everything on.
Yeah.
Somebody just chimed in and said, this sounds like when I gave my life to Christ, felt like I had to get rid of everything and scrutinize everything. Like that's how I've been, I think. It's so funny, the parallels, because it's true. Because now I'm like, all right, I got to eat healthy. I'm going to meal prep. I'm going to blah. And then like, but it can almost become overwhelming. And to parallel that with your faith, it can almost become overwhelming because you're like, oh my gosh, okay, I gotta do this. I gotta read this. I gotta pray at this time. It becomes this laundry list of to-dos that can become overwhelming. But that's also not relational. That's not a relationship. You just make it a part of.
That's still holding yourself to other people's standards.
Absolutely. And I would I had to be in church every day. I was part of this group and I was hanging out with this club and I was, and just like burning myself out. But it was like, but I have to for the sake of the kingdom, you know? Yes. And like, no, it's crazy and overwhelming. And then no wonder people just kind of go, I'm out.
I get burnt out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been there.
Yep. That's me we right now have. With my meal plan.
Yeah. You just need to change your attitude about it. I got a meal prep. You're like, I can't wait to meal prep. Attitude's everything.
Attitude's everything. I've learned that at the gym.
I had a comeback. Sure. I told you I had a hard time, but I had a comeback. Yeah. I had a really hard day on Wednesday. I have to say, I was dumpster diving in my house looking for food that I wasn't supposed to be eating because I had done such a good job about putting that stuff away. And now I require my kids to eat what I eat. Yeah. I throw a little bit of cheese on the vegetables and stuff.
But. Wait, we can't have cheese? Cheese is bad, bro.
You can't have cheese. Just if you're on the program that we gave you, it is a saturated fat.
Oh. Well, I mean, how much is too much? Like if I have a giant baked potato and I decide to put
baked potato, sour sweet cream. Okay, so you're already on the wrong path with the baked potato and sour cream.
I'm like, I just, you know.
We just start all over. Yeah. Amy's going to be so disappointed.
Hey, I did sweet potato baked potatoes. Like you still do it the same way.
Yeah, I do. I'm going to do this for you. I do my breakfast burritos. I do sweet potatoes. But no, instead of potatoes, like fried hash browns, I do sweet potatoes and eggs and cheese and bacon. So I do put a little bit of cheese.
I heard cheese.
So you're gonna hear cheese a lot. That's my hardest thing to give up. I will give up ice cream, but cheese.
I don't get that. I guess I'm just not a cheese fan.
You're not a cheese guy?
No.
Go away.
Yeah, never since Skip Heitzig talked about cheese. That's true. Skip, I'm like, skiving more.
I don't even
want to
hear it.
You don't, because it's like, here's what it does. And he's talking about like splintering your arteries and killing you slowly.
It's a saturated fat.
I'm like,
clogs your arteries,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So stay it's like heart disease, death.
Well, I'll get cheese. Chest pains if I overdo it. So I was dumpster diving in my house looking for stuff, and I really couldn't find them. Yeah. But we had cheese.
I had three Thin Mints last night, but they're gluten free. So are Thin Mints okay? Is that part of the plan?
What about the sugar content?
Yeah, Steve-O.
Not a whole lot. I'm sure.
See, you know it's bad.
But I'm hungry, guys.
It's like sin, man. You know it's bad. And you just do it anyways.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's true.
You feel the conviction.
Stop it. None conviction here.
585-LIVE if you want to text in. 585-5483.
Just kind of hanging out. I don't know. I think for me, it's different because I'm trying to, like, quote, gain weight. And I'm still losing weight because I'm, like, eating healthy and blah.
Did you train this week?
Yeah. But wouldn't that make me, like, fatten up? Because I didn't. I haven't been in the gym at all this week.
You're not going to fatten up, man. You're not.
It's all about getting efficient with your eating. Okay. Do you understand this?
Yeah, I mean.
Do you understand how it works?
I don't.
Have you drank a protein shake this morning?
Huh?
Are you supposed to drink protein shakes in the morning?
No.
You're not?
No.
See, I feel like you should be drinking a ton of protein shakes.
Yeah.
Shouldn't he?
He is. Well, I have not seen what Amy has sent you, but I'm sure in your bulking phase, it's pretty much.
You're good.
It's pretty much. Readjusting over here. I move all over the place. You're bulking. You need extra protein.
Extra protein.
Yeah. And I'm sure you have higher fats and protein around your and carbs around your training.
All right.
Yeah. That's what it looks like, right? Do you have your. Do you know where it's at?
I know where
it's at. Do you have it on your fridge?
I have it on. I haven't printed it out.
You should have printed it out already.
It's on my phone.
So when I'm. Yeah. So let me tell you, this is why I love doing the challenges. Like our challenge is over. We still have people doing our program, but the challenge is over. I stick to it because we're a team and we're motivated. I have a hard time doing stuff on my own.
Yeah.
Honestly, I can't work out by myself now. I have to be in the gym to work out. Not motivated enough.
That was me. We were like in the hotel and I'm thinking, all right, we got a gym downstairs. Dex and I, we're going to do it. Instead, we just went to the pool.
Yeah.
But we didn't like swim because that would require work. We just sat, in the hot tub.
Our feet in the pool.
Just hung out. It was really great though. We had really relaxing evening together. Nice. in the hot tub.
That sounds wonderful.
It was great, man.
That's some bonding.
We did. It was really good.
Yeah, that's what's great about classes. If you go to a gym that has classes, you should try them. You should give them a shot because I used to be the guy just going to the gym by myself, or even if I did go with a friend, I just didn't get the same workout as if I went to a class. It's completely different.
I did. I used to go to this Greece before I did CrossFit. I went to spin class.
Yeah, I've done that.
This girl, I did it twice a week, and that's when I started liking the classes.
Yeah,
because I got burnt out with just the same stuff in the gym, walking around, and then
Right. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, and you got to be careful too if you don't know what you're doing at the gym and you're lifting too much weight and you're not lifting them properly. You could really hurt yourself, and that's another great thing is having coaches there that can tell you, hey. Doing that wrong, do it this way. And I think people just kind of jump in, and that's when they get injured. They don't know what they're doing.
So we got to talk about this, Beck, because you're in here week in and week out, and it's like CrossFit and healthy eating and blah. And I think sometimes people can get overwhelmed by that. But as you mentioned, you had not a great week. Why?
It started on Monday. I didn't get my work out. Things just didn't work out in my favor, and that's the hardest thing that I've had, like being a mom.
Yeah,
it's kids are completely unpredictable.
Yeah, yeah.
And they still are. And no matter how I plan my week, stuff changes, and I don't do well with that. Still, after three kids, you think that I'd be good with it, but I get being a mom. The whole like not going to work every day and the dynamic changed.
Yeah.
We made a choice that I was going to stay home with the kids and I work at the gym.
Yeah.
And I have a sitter. So I work about 8 hours in the gym week. So I don't really do most of my work is at home. Yeah. I do the internal work. It's at home and I didn't get my workout in and I went a little bit crazy on Monday. I was just, oh my gosh. And then I ate bad. I ate an ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
I ate two ice cream sandwiches. You almost get comfortable with your self-harming. You like it.
That doesn't sound like harm. I love ice cream sandwiches.
It's comfort. It feels
it's comfort food and it's harm in the long run because, because I just get
that was Monday and here it is Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how did you get from Monday to Friday? Because I know you were like saying that you had a hard week, but it got better. So like, because I know there's so many moms that listen.
Oh my gosh! Well, I had I started feeling so I've come so far from my first kid because I talked about when I first got on the show I had postpartum depression.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to be a Debbie Downer, but I feel like I had gotten over it. But I still have those thoughts that start coming into my head about my kids and like, I start feeling sorry for myself and it can consume me.
Yeah.
And I almost let it consume me, but I have done, with this other company that I've joined, I work, with this other company with my family on the side. They teach self-development and you listening to positive things and what the mind believes, just like one of those things where you hear, not just spiritual talk, because I do that. I listen to good Christian apps. Yeah. I haven't gone to, like confession time to a regular church in a long time. I actually just listen to stuff on Sundays. Ever since I had kids, I didn't want to leave them in childcare. This is where I felt like really hard. This is why I was hard this week. But just listening to positive things. Surrounding myself, forcing myself to listen to positive things because I didn't want to. I didn't want to listen to somebody telling me, get your act together.
Yeah,
where are you feeling? Why are you feeling? You gotten away from God. Have you prayed this morning? Like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want anybody telling
me. Totally get where you're at.
So.
Well, it's funny because that parallels gym life as well. We talk about not wanting to work out or not wanting to do things. That's why we have to be in a community of fellow believers because if you isolate yourself,
I isolated myself on Monday.
Yeah. No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
But I did what I tell everybody not to do. I was isolating myself. Didn't show up at the gym. Didn't do anything. I did. And then the girl that does childcare, I usually get it on Monday nights because we have childcare on 4:30 and 5:30. And there was there was an emergency and she couldn't come. So it was out of my control. And I was oh crap, oh, now I can't work out at the gym, it was like it was a really bad day.
Yeah. So that's so normal.
I called my sister. I have four sisters, but I have my older sister, Margaret, I'm very, very close to. We've been through, She just, all right, what are you doing? Get over it. You know, she doesn't give me, she didn't say, oh, poor thing. You know, she tells me what I need to hear.
Which is great. You need that accountability.
And
everybody
you sound
does.
Just like most people out there. Leslie and I are in the same boat. You know, Tuesday and Wednesday, we didn't go to the gym because of a science fair project. You know, it was, oh my gosh, science fair project's due on Thursday. Oh my gosh, we haven't even really started. So it was like chaos.
Oh my gosh, it was
nuts. So we didn't get to go. And then you're like, man, that really messed up the week. But did it really mess it up? Because we can still go Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and I can still get 4 days in this
exactly.
week. You know, so it's all how you look at it.
Yeah.
You know, it's all, you can't get frustrated and just give up, because your mind mentally on Wednesday, I remember going, man, I haven't been to the gym since Monday. Am I falling back into that rut again? But you just go. You just get back on your horse and go.
A CrossFit's like my therapy too. So it's like, oh my gosh, I got to get in the gym. If I don't get in the gym, my life, but it wasn't like that at all. I actually have a barbell and some weights back at home, and I could have, you know, put the kit and I could have just like 15 minutes just done a quick workout. Cause what are they? 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I had done something. I did it. Mm-hmm. I kind of felt sorry for myself.
Somebody had a question for you though, because you made a comment about your ice cream sandwiches and, somebody wanted to know, is it really so bad to eat stuff like that once in a while? I've always felt like staying away forever sounds like such an exaggeration.
Oh yeah. I'm not advocating staying away from ever, but I'm an advocate of earning it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what do you mean? Like if you work hard, like I did the open on Saturday, so I decided not to go to the gym this week because I earned it. No,
but
is that
you're
too
on
much?
A program, 6 week program. And so the 6 week program that we do is not meant to like do for the rest of your life. You know, I almost look at it as a detox, but it also gets you in good habits.
No, yeah.
Daily habits change here so you can continue whatever program you're going to do after that. If you're going to stick with it. If you loved it, you can stick with it. It works for you. It creates good habits.
Yeah.
But if you're not on a program and like I'm not on a program.
not personal training. Right.
But you've earned it. Or I tell people, like, you know, a couple weeks ago we talked about going on a cruise. Like, obviously, work up to that.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my gosh, right after we left the building, I have to say, a little bit off topic, one of your girls here, she came up to me and she's like, I went on a cruise and I actually lost weight.
What?
I
know who that is. She came up to me and said,
I was like, you're not getting on the show and talking about that.
Right? Gosh.
Yeah.
But yeah, earn it. Like, just work your butt off. And if you're going to eat your sugar, eat it around your workouts, because your body's still burning calories, you know, right after you work out. So there's a tummy ice cream and chocolate.
When we went down to Las Cruces, that's the thing, Steve-O. You not only missed this week, but you missed the week of Las Cruces as well.
I know.
So
it's been a hard,
we went down
a hard couple of weeks.
And I had been off of sodas for a little bit. And I started drinking Cokes because I'm like, we're in Cruces. I need a Coke. And man, I felt awful after I drank that Coke. It just, after you eat those things that you really like and have lots of sugar, if you've been eating healthy, that's when you kind of realize, oh my gosh, why do I feel this way?
Your body.
Gross.
Detoxed out of that, all that high sugar, and then your body's, whoa.
Right. Yeah.
I always hate paying for it, man. Like when we were in Cruces, you know, you have to we had to have quick food sometimes. And so you get like an extra, not an extra value meal, but like, you know, if you go to a fast food joint and it's like, and to drink, I'm like, man, I'm about to pay $1.50 for my water.
Yeah.
But I try so hard to just get water. I won't rock teas and I don't drink Cokes or anything like that because I can't.
Mine's good.
Twofold though, because throat and
Cutty, that's a good way to like start eating healthy. People that are trying to transition, instead of just you know, just cutting little things like that, taking soda, taking French fries, eating whole wheat bread with their sandwich instead of, you know, white enriched flour.
See, those are good little things.
Yeah.
Like sweet potatoes instead of regular white potatoes, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
transition into it because it can really shock your body.
I'll never do brown rice over white rice. I'm sorry. I'm trying to. It's brown rice is so gross.
White rice is not so bad for you.
Okay.
In moderation. That's but good. I mean, there's a lot more. It's just brown rice is a lot more nutrient dense.
Yeah. I just sprinkle vitamins on top of my white rice.
You know what? My mom, let me tell you this, though. Do you like Spanish rice?
Yes.
Like beans and Spanish rice?
Oh, yes.
My mom makes, out of this world, Spanish rice from brown rice.
Oh. Wait, what?
She uses brown rice.
Okay.
She sautés it in like this healthy oil at the bottom with like onions and peppers and squash, and then she adds like fresh tomatoes.
So it's possible it to is make amazing. It not taste like-
I'm gonna have her make some for you.
Okay.
Actually,
I'll eat that.
I would love to. I haven't even tried making it myself.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
But
see,
she
that's
used a
different.
It's healthy.
Bleh.
Spanish rice.
Mm. I love Spanish rice. So if you can mask it, brown rice with yummy, then that's cool. But it's always so hard because
brown
sweet
rice
potatoes, thankfully, I love. So that was an easy
so
transition.
Good. Who doesn't like
right.
sweet potatoes?
My wife.
Really?
Hates them.
Really? What does she like? What is her carb?
White potato. Like, she's a baked potato girl.
Baked potato.
She, like, with potatoes. The sour cream and cheese and, like, seasoned
butter.
Salt, butter. Yeah, all that. Mm. I'm like, I like the sweet potato. I actually have transitioned, like, a nice sweet potato with, like, just avocado oil and salt and pepper and bake that. And, like, I love sweet potatoes. So that was an easy transition. But there are other things.
There's
like,
so many different ways to do sweet potatoes, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many different ways.
Somebody wants to know why they're always starving after they work out, especially after I run. I always want a burger after I run, and it's really hard not to get one.
That's why you get a. That's why we tell you to get a protein shake in, because you depleted all your energy, everything that you've eaten, which is okay. Okay, well, I'll finish this. We'll go back to what you asked about earlier when you're talking about how you're hungry all the time. That's what it is. You just eaten. You've used up all your sugar. It's gone into your muscles.
Yay! So you need
to
replenish
eaten
all
efficiently.
That.
So you need to replenish your sugars. Your muscle glycogen's low. Everything's low.
But is it bad to want to get? I mean, I'm gonna be honest. Getting a burger after workout, is that really the worst thing? Like, if you don't get a bun, is that cool? Like, hey, man, well, I'm going to get a triple burger, wrap that in lettuce instead of the bun, and we're good, right?
Because I don't believe in just macros. It's all about nutrient density. It's not good food.
Okay.
You know that. We've talked about this. It's like you're eating crap after you work out. Yeah, it's efficient.
Yeah.
So your body can't distinguish, you know,
right.
calories. But it's efficient, but it's not good for you.
So instead of getting like a monstrous burger, get like a... monstrous
steak and potatoes, like sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
Okay. What about red potatoes? A couple of people actually chimed in and said, "Well, what about red potatoes? Are those okay?" Or
again, it's all about glycemic index. I think it's like the sugar content in potatoes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, not the sugar content, but how your body is efficient at eating it. So sweet potatoes are a slow energy release. It's has a lower glycemic index, so it's a slow sugar and that stuff again. But after you work out, Your metabolism is
carbs,
going. You need sugar. Yeah. So if you're going to eat those red potatoes again after around your workouts,
after and around your workouts. Okay. Well, see, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw this really cool cartoon where it was explaining your cells in your body and how when you eat all this bad stuff like fast food and stuff that doesn't have any nutrients in it, your cells are like sick and they're just depressed and you want your cells to just be glowing and just, you know, that's what makes up our body, you know, makes us feel great. And then, you know, as soon as you put in, you know, you eat a salad, you eat some veggies, those cells are like, finally some food. And they're like, feel so good,
soak it up.
You know, and that right there, when I saw that whole like cartoon, you know, and I saw like how my cells were, like, that's my cells.
That's me.
Yeah. That's how I feel all the time. That. You know, if you can get that picture of like, dude, I got to drink like a juice, you know, go get like one of those veggie juices.
Yeah.
Your body loves you.
Your body pays you back. Yeah. You feel good.
Yeah. Cause your cells are like, they're alive again, you know?
Yeah. So after you work out, you're feeling amazing. Your dopamine levels are high. Your endorphins are high. You're just feeling like a rock star. I need a cheeseburger, saturated.
With cheese.
Fat. I don't know about that.
Burger.
I don't even know what's in that protein. No.
But what if you go to like a local butcher and you get, you know, where the meat's coming from?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm like, well, I still rock burger patties at home. There's great places to eat. Triple burgers at home.
Yeah, so do I.
But it's
so
like from the local butcher down on the Old Coors. So I won't say
you
the
know
name.
Where the meat's coming from.
Yeah, no, for real. It's like, you know, family friend since, you know,
that's awesome.
My wife's family, like,
Fred and I were looking for that.
So, okay.
Local butchers.
I've got a place for you, girl.
All right.
Seriously, that's where we get every. And so we'll rock tri-tip, we'll rock burger patties, we'll rock whatever, just because we know where that meat is coming from. So,
exactly.
But it's a local butcher again, so. That's the difference for me.
You have to put some work into it. You have to put some work looking for the easy way out.
Can't go to Smith's and
your body will love you.
There you go.
Yeah, well, you can go to Smith's. They have some.
But I mean, for like burger patties. And, yeah, yeah. Like, I don't trust meat from like grocery stores or like the Walmarts of, you know, like I just.
Well.
Can't,
just
man.
Just be informed. You just read up, people.
Yeah.
Be informed about where, you know, you got to do some work. You got to put some work into it.
Got to do it.
Somebody wants to know if a veggie burger on a whole wheat bun would be cool after they run.
Heck yeah.
Okay. What about working out when you're sick? I don't know what the question is.
Oh gosh, what is that? Okay, I gotta look that up again. Yeah, it just it talks about if it's like from the neck up, like if it's just sinuses, you're okay. But once it gets into your throat and chest, I mean,
dude, yeah, you don't want to, because it can get worse. Yeah. I remember trying to barrel through.
Oh, like, I've been there.
I had like chest congestion, like it was just bad, and it was like I'm gonna barrel through it, and then I was out for days. I was out of the gym longer than I would have been.
Yeah, so you stressed your body out.
Yep. Should have just rested.
I have to say, every time I've worked out, no matter if it's above the head, I've always stressed out my body and made it worse. I've never gone to the gym and made it better.
Yeah.
I say, no, for real. Chill out.
So last question real quick. Somebody says, I do jiu-jitsu, and if I eat before, I feel sick during class, but if I eat nothing, I come out feeling like I am starving and about to pass out. What is something I can eat before that will give me the energy I need but won't make me feel sick?
Piece of fruit.
Yeah, dude, piece of fruit.
A piece of fruit. Your body, it quickly, you know, goes right into your bloodstream. It's just a sugar that's easily absorbed by your body. You don't want something that's sitting in your stomach, because when you work out, all that blood rushes to your stomach.
Dude, I ate one of these protein bars before the workout yesterday, and I was like, oh gosh.
Yeah, just sitting there. Your body's you're working out. Yeah. It's not able to digest anything, so whatever you're going to eat is just going to sit in your stomach.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Becca.
You're welcome.
This was fun. Thank you, Starmy, for chiming in.
Make healthy choices.
Make healthy after choices, you work out. Guys. Yes. If you guys have any questions, 585-LIVE, 585-5483. They'll be back Friday. Amy's not doing very good. She's sick, huh?
Yep. She hardly ever gets sick.
Pray she's resting. That's she's good. Resting.
Yep.
All right. We'll be right back. Sam Swan will be joining us. The new Respects Money. Star D8. It's Friday, guys. March 31st. April Fool's Day tomorrow. Don't forget. Ugh. Watch out for all those pranksters out there. 803.
High today is not very high, actually. It's climbed up a tad to 60, but that's our high.
You know who we need to watch out for? Daniel. Yeah, buddy. You're a prankster.
Yeah, people were chiming in this morning saying that it's a good thing that Sally and Mitch don't work here anymore, because they were really good pranksters and we never retaliated.
Daniel's the ultimate prankster. When we went to Las Cruces, they constantly just pranking.
Really?
Just pranking. I just found that if I stay close to him, I'll probably be okay.
Yeah.
You know, but if I drift off, then something usually would
keep
happen.
Your friends close and your pranksters closer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sam Swan is here, everybody.
Good morning. How are you, boys?
Good to see you, man.
We are excited.
Man, it's good to see y'all.
Hey,
I missed you last week.
You guys skipped my traffic thing, and I really need to. I-40 East at Rio Grande, exit 157. There was an accident reported, and I-40 traveling eastbound is a parking lot. So at least that's what it's stating on my report.
It actually says parking lot.
Yeah, it's. It's down to 5 to 10 miles an hour.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
It's the average. Yeah. Oh, up to 17 near the Unser area.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah, well, so it's pretty slow. Flying. So, yeah, but so I-40 traveling eastbound. That's pretty backed up. Not you look at traffic.
Traffic!
Oh, good morning. We have already had a huge show, man. We've had Belle Biv DeVoe on the show. We had Steve-O's mom on with Belle Biv DeVoe. And they actually apologized.
They
to Steve-O's mom.
Really? For what?
There was the worst interview we have ever done.
All three of them were on, and every time they have more than one person on the phone, it's so hard interview because one person will start talking, and then the other person starts talking, and then you start talking, and it's
because they're probably not in the same room.
Crazy.
It was rough, dude. It was really rough, and it was like, this is going to be hilarious.
Because
it was funny. When I was 12 years old, my mom took me. It was the first concert I like picked.
Oh yeah,
I'm going to go see Belle Biv DeVoe. They were my favorite band in the world.
Yeah,
and they started singing a song, and the title of that song is "Do Me," and I didn't even remember this part. My mom she remembered. She was like, and then you guys started stripping, and it was like, and it was me, my little brother, and my baby sister. And my mom was like, whoop, and pulled us out.
Pulled everybody out.
Yep.
And so they apologized to her?
Yeah.
In the interview?
And I said, I also need you to tell me the rest of the show, because I missed the rest of the show.
Yeah, you missed Poison.
I missed Poison. My favorite jam. That's cool.
Well,
I have to admit, if you asked me if there was a quiz and I had to give a Belle Biv DeVoe song.
Do you remember the song?
Kind of. Yeah.
Poison.
Yeah, kind of remember
1991.
That one.
Yeah, man,
was
90s.
The big tour.
Yeah, in 1991, I stopped listening to music for a whole year on
really?
The radio. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Wow, you remember that? Wow.
Yeah, I took a fast from media.
Yeah.
In anticipation of all the social media, I was I was kind of projecting ahead of what. That's all a big lie. I forgot to brush my teeth. I hope nobody can hear my bad breath over the radio. That's awful.
That's good.
I feel sorry for the next person who's going to use this mic right here.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, it's all you, buddy.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Do you want some gum, man?
Yeah. I'm gonna dig into this breakfast taco that you guys shared with me.
There you go.
So, Daniel brought me an Altoid
there
mint.
There you go.
That's good.
Seriously strong.
You know what,
brother.
Be careful.
Wait. Oh, it's close to April Fools. Should I eat this or not?
No, right?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I'm literally
just talking about how he's the worst.
I'm going to have the Baptist lab do some tests on that before I put that in my mouth. Fools.
I don't know, Sam. I don't know.
It looks legit. It came right out of the... You saw it. It came right out of the Altoid
tin. Yeah, you're going to eat it.
That's exactly what a prankster would do, Sam. Come on.
Oh, yes. Gosh. I keep forgetting.
It's going to taste like dog doo-doo. Yeah. That's what it's going to taste like.
Okay.
I'm just warning you.
Listen, it's got to be better than my breath. I don't know.
I don't know. Last time you did that, the whole studio, the whole like building smelled like a giant.
It'll be so good that so there'll be gross. Blood coming out of my tear ducts. It'll be a great prank. Oh, I can't wait.
Please don't die. Don't do it.
I won't.
Okay.
That's funny.
Tears of blood. That sounds like a cool punk band, doesn't it? Ladies and gentlemen,
Tears of blood?
Live.
That sounds like a death metal band.
Oh, yeah, true. That'd be better.
Punk
death
band.
Metal.
Yeah, no.
Punk band would be...
Punk band doesn't have
I'm
tears.
Crying tears. No, I don't have any tears left because I bumped my head riding my skateboard. Isn't that more what the...
Hey.
I just offended
you're a great
like...
Dude, but you are a terrible band namer.
I really am. I really am.
Punk band would be like, I have a mohawk and I was on a skateboard. Here's my song.
Here's my song. Turn the guitar up.
I'm going to name my band that.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a
How about this? How about One Lane Bridge?
One Lane Bridge.
As a name
that
of
sounds
a,
very
like
emo.
A country band. An emo band.
No, that's like one an emo band.
Bridge to Nowhere.
It's just like, One Lane.
It's getting worse. I should just, let's move on. What's on the docket, right. Dex? What's going on?
All right. This is something that popped up in the news that everybody's kind of freaking out over. I want to see what you guys think about it.
Okay.
Mike Pence.
Yes, I'm glad we're doing this.
Mike Pence. Apparently, it came out that he won't eat alone with any woman who's not his wife, and people are going crazy over that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a little bit on Twitter about that last
night. I guess he has a strict rule where he won't eat a meal alone with any woman who's not his wife and won't go to any event serving alcohol without her. People online are mocking him.
Of course they are.
Like, for instance, what does he think's going to happen at dinner? He doesn't care, of course. You know, I mean, that's what's great about it. So we thought we'd throw it out there. Can a married man eat alone with a woman other than his wife?
Gosh.
Good question to throw out.
And here's the thing. Like, more so, and I'm not even going to say, oh, yeah, totally. But more so for Mike Pence, as a Christian, but also as a politician, he is in the worst place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because anything could be misconstrued.
Talk about a fishbowl.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, absolutely.
He could be at Starbucks with somebody of the opposite sex that isn't his wife. Somebody takes a photo, and now that's on something blasting that, oh, well, he's having an affair. And, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'm sure there's more than just, well, because of my belief in Christ or because of whatever he says, I'm sure.
There's probably several reasons that he does that. I know some pastors. And leaders, Christian leaders who, in my world, who have that same rule.
Oh, yeah. I remember clearly a pastor friend of mine, still to this day sticks to it. He said, my best friend, coming up, well, I mean, not Derek. I had a lot of friends, but I was always more friends with the girls than I was with the guys. It was just easier. And, so one of my best friends, growing up was a female. And I remember it became a point of not contention in our marriage, but it was just one of those things. And I was talking to a pastor friend about it. And he said, well, you're married now. So your wife's your best friend. And I said, okay, but I mean, this is just somebody like, we're not eating alone at lunch. Like it was literally, I don't even remember what it was about. Like just talking to this person in general. And it was like, you don't need friends that are girls anymore. Your wife is your best friend now. And it was like, oh.
And that
was like a hard line.
That seems a little extreme.
And I wasn't sure how to take it because, you know, like, man, are you kidding
I saw, on, because of this, I saw this stream of tweets from a national Christian leader.
Yeah.
And he did like, you know, several in a row to address this. I didn't realize it was in response to the Pence thing.
Yeah.
But he said he was at a church fellowship. It was a church fellowship. It was public. It was in the fellowship hall. And there was a lady who had come in who was not a member of the church. Turns out she was a lost person who had been invited or came to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody... It was like a dinner fellowship thing. And she was dressed a little immodestly. This is according to his stream of tweets.
Yeah.
So he said she was sitting at a table by herself, and he watched as a bunch of ladies and a bunch of other people, families, walked right past her and sat at other tables at this fellowship. So he, as the pastor, went and sat down at the table with her. This is in a fellowship hall, lots and lots of people around. Sat down, and it was she and he, the only ones at the table, and he engaged her in conversation, found out some stuff about her and all this.
Yeah.
Two ladies from the church came up afterwards and gave him a hard time, teasing him about sitting you know, with this lady who's not dressed very, you know, and he called him out.
Yeah.
Dude.
One lady apologized to him.
Yeah.
And the other still, she just kind of was rude about it.
Right.
Well, I remember clearly in scripture, there was this woman that had been in like so many different relationships with men, super adulterous woman. She was living with a dude that wasn't her husband, and she was like hanging out by herself, and Christ saw her at the well, and like, and he wouldn't even talk to her. Like he walked like the long way around so that he would be above reproach and
I
didn't
think,
even have a conversation. Like,
I think you're confusing part of that story.
Is that how it went?
I think the truth of it is that there was a woman at the well and Jesus. That's the only thing that was true about that story. Well, except for the description of her character.
I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit, but the truth is, I mean, Christ approached this woman,
he
and
did.
It was like she was a Samaritan.
Yeah.
He knew she was a harlot. She had been in relationships.
She had three strikes, you know, against her already standing out there.
Yeah, man. And she was out there by herself on purpose because so many people thought ill of her.
Right.
Now, he wasn't alone at dinner.
In a dark corner in a restaurant.
Right. So I'm not equating the two things. Please, gentlemen, don't think I'm giving you a pass.
Yeah.
But
he did approach her.
Yes, he did.
Asked her for a drink, engaged her in conversation.
Yeah.
Told her about living water.
Mm-hmm.
You will never thirst. Give me this water. That's one of my favorite encounters with Jesus. Because not only did he show this love to this woman that nobody else was being kind to, at least from the inference in the scriptures and from what we understand from that world in those days. But at the end of all of that, when she goes back into town and she says, I think I met the Messiah, and the people come out.
Yeah,
And then they tell her, we not only believe because you told us, but because we have seen for ourselves.
Yeah.
She didn't have any evangelism training. She encountered Jesus in a real way and went back. And he didn't say, hey, go back into town and invite everybody out here to hear my words.
Right.
He just had this encounter. The disciples interrupted it, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then she left and goes and tells the men, because that's the ladies wouldn't talk to her.
Yeah.
Tells the men, hey, I think I met the Messiah. And that's just one of my favorite encounters.
Yeah.
Because she has this experience with Christ and immediately, without even being told, tells other, hey, you got to come meet this guy.
Right.
He told me everything I ever did. And one of my, the humor of it also, there's that one line where he says, you're right. And, you know, the five men you've been, the one you're with now is not your husband. In fact, you've had five. And she goes, her statement, I can see you are a prophet. Mm. That's an interjection of truth and humor all at the same time for the statement of the obvious. I always kind of chuckle at that when I read it, but that's one of my favorite encounters that Jesus has.
Yeah, we're talking about Mike Pence. He made the news recently because, people are mocking him because he won't eat alone with any woman who's not his wife. And of course, he won't go, anywhere where they're serving alcohol without her.
Yeah.
So people are making fun of them, and you know, Twitter's blowing up and all these, you know, things, you know.
Hey, and let me be really, really clear, because people are like blowing up the live line now in my phone.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not equating, because it's like, well, Jesus wasn't married, so he could talk to anybody he wanted. And it's like, okay. Well.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was in public, and it was blah, 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 blah. And I was equating that directly to the pastor's story of a dude who approached a woman who was dressed inappropriately at church that no one else would speak to.
Yes.
But this pastor was willing to approach her, and people in his congregation were offended by it. And it just reminds me that it reminded me of Jesus meeting with the woman in public. Fact, so I'm sorry, and gentlemen, and I even said, gentlemen, I'm not equating the two.
You did.
And I'm not giving you a pass to go act like an idiot. So I just want to squash all that, because people are acting like idiots on the live line. And so
you know, the funny thing is, Steve-O, is that people responded to that pastor that I was talking about on Twitter. They responded to him mostly positive. There was one or two negative ones, but the majority of them were, oh, wow, way to go, be like Jesus. I mean, in a positive, that sounded more sarcastic than what it was in the tweets. They were responding to him saying, you did exactly what you're supposed to do. That was outstanding.
Yeah.
And I it's just amazing to me that the people on the radio got misunderstood what you were saying. I just can't believe that.
Okay. So many people are chiming in.
It's a naive Friday.
So many people. Being a woman, every other woman in the world is seen as a threat to my relationship. With the way the world is today, it's very easy to be leery of everyone, even if they're just friends. Often women find themselves being cheated on with the woman that they were told not to worry about. So they understand, you know.
Yeah, Mike Pence. Totally. And that's probably one of the reasons that Mike Pence has that protection. He's built that protection into his marriage. There's nothing wrong with setting up boundaries and building a protection. In fact, that's good. That's wise. That's a smart thing to do, is to set things up.
Yeah. If you don't trust yourself, then you need to put those accountability partner, you know, you have to put yourself, you have to make sure you're not put in those situations where you could, if some girl, attractive woman starts to come on to you and you don't trust yourself, don't put yourself in that situation.
Yeah, that's just like, a guy who's trying to quit smoking walking into a smoke shop. That's just silly.
We went to Las Cruces this last weekend, and it was Dexter, myself, Daniel, and Heidi. And, poor Heidi ended up having to drive the star van, which it's a long road trip and it was really windy, and that's a horrible situation.
Yeah.
But none of us could drive it, because in turn she would be in a vehicle with men, and it's not acceptable. And so all of us dudes piled in a car and she drove by herself, you know, and it's like, I'm sorry, but there's boundaries, there's rules, there's regulations, and even
sometimes, even if there's, as long as it's not one on one, sometimes you can, if there's other people, you know, more than like two and one, whatever is the ratio.
That wasn't even acceptable.
That
338-3700 if you want to call in. Good morning.
Phones are jammed.
I bet.
Are you there?
Hey there.
Hi. Thanks for holding.
So I understand there's a scripture that says something to the effect of keep away from all appearances of evil. But you want to keep away from something that may appear to be like you're having an affair or something like that.
Yeah, I had to look. I got to look it up. Yeah, that's.
It's 1 Thessalonians 5:22.
Steve-O found it faster.
Abstain from all appearances of evil.
Yeah.
I have a question about that.
Okay.
My daughter just started a job where she's going to have to be the front person for this architectural firm, and she'll be having to go out on business lunches. She's just recently married, and she's going to be having to go out on business lunches with different people as the face front for this company to do business deals. And that seems like it's going to put her in an awkward situation where she's going to possibly be one-on-one with a man, possibly a married man. How is she going to handle that?
It's a good question.
That's a great question. I saw an article the other day written by a lady who actually asked this question, and the way she addressed it was, she says, let's be honest, the people that I might have in a business relationship, and relationship being the right word, in a business meeting at lunch, I'm not going to be attracted to every guy that I might have to, because of my job, have a lunch with or meet somewhere out of the office, which I thought was an interesting point that was brought up in the article. So I think there's ways that can be done, that as long as people know, you know, like her husband knows today she has a business lunch and we're going to this restaurant and we're going to be there from this time to this time. I think there's other ways that you can put some protection in that relationship. The other thing she could do is maybe talk to her employers, her firm folks, and say, hey, is there somebody who can go with me so that I'm not at this lunch by myself? And that might be a possibility. I don't know. Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
I was just going to say, because this is one that I always, man, it's so tricky. I'm like, I want to be careful with my words. Oh, I'm trying so hard. So here's the thing. Depending upon the version, it can say the appearance of evil. It can say every kind of evil, NIV and New Living Translation. Every form of evil, New King James Version, ESV Version. And all of those are good translations. In fact, the Greek word translated appearance or form or kind can also mean sight, because that's the same word used in 2 Corinthians 5:7. So the difference in translations can in turn lead to difference in application, and people have formed different ideas about what it means to avoid the appearance of evil or all kinds of evil. Is it emphasizing on perceptions of other people? Is it emphasizing forms of evil being drunkenness, lying, adultery? Like, what is it? What does it mean by abstaining from the appearance of evil? And so you really have to take a deep look at it, because I think we can get so hung up on the perceptions of other people that we can become slaves to that. I know people who are so in. And I'm going to say in bondage to that, because they are so legalistic and terrified that they're no good, man.
Yeah.
And I mean that in the best sense, because we just talked about this pastor who was the only one willing to speak to this girl in the church who was dressed inappropriately. And so nobody wanted to talk to her because they were so worried about what somebody else would think, that this poor visiting girl who didn't know the Lord.
Or they were just uncomfortable with her presence.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this pastor stepped up and went and talked to her and was able to. And that's phenomenal to me.
Yeah.
That they were willing, you know, because, and again, taking that back to Christ and back to the woman at the well, I'm sure the perception was negative of Jesus talking to this harlot, this whore, you know, this woman of the streets, if you will, this woman who had been in so many relationships. And here's this dude who's the Messiah, like hanging out at the well, talking to this girl. I'm sure there were people talking and having ill perception. In fact, so much so that you look at scripture and the Pharisees and the sad people they called him a drunkard. They called Jesus, they called him so many different things because of the perception, because he was hanging out with people who were drinking, because he was talking to the people who needed him the most. And so I'm not saying that it's acceptable or that we should just, you know, we have liberty in Jesus, because that's the other flip side, and that's where people sway the opposite, and then they take that freedom and they run with it and do whatever they want. You can't. But there's got to be discernment. There's got to be... Oh man, I apologize, but it's something that you can't just on the surface say, well, I would never A, B, or C because obviously this.
And that's why I think if she lets her husband know, if she lets her employers know, we're going to be at this place, it's going to be from this time to this time, there's protection that you can put in that.
That you can,
because even, you know, when I was on staff at a church, when I was a youth pastor, there would be some times when I would have to have a conversation with somebody, whether it was one of the students or not, but a female, and I would just make sure that Brenda would know. I'd text her and say, "Hey, I'm going to be home a little later because so and so walked in. We're going to chat for a minute." And I would also make sure that there was somebody else in the building, one of the other pastors or one of the secretaries or somebody that knew that we were visiting, because my office was at the very end of the hall of all the other offices.
Yeah.
And there's windows in the door. I mean, there's all we built some protection in for everybody.
Yeah.
For the person, for me, for the church, all that stuff. So there's ways to do it, I think, that can help deal with that. And the important people of that, you know, husbands and employers, they're the ones that need that information help so that they're up front.
And, thank you so much.
And don't worry about
call.
What the rest of the world
thinks
thank
necessarily.
You for calling
that was a great question. Great call.
All right. Yeah. I recently was at the gym a couple weeks ago, and one of the girls at the gym was needing to go get a couch, and she was purchasing it from a stranger on Craigslist. And her and one other girl from the gym were going. And it was like, are any dudes going?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to go to some random house and pick up a couch that you're purchasing from someone you've never met. And it was like, we'll be okay. I mean, we could use help, and nobody else, like nobody at the gym. Oh, I got this, or I got work, or I got da da da. And so I immediately just called my wife and said, Chrissy, these two girls are going to buy a couch from a stranger online. And is it okay if I help them pick up this couch and move this, you know, move this furniture? And it was like, yeah, totally cool. You know, and it was like, okay. But I did call her immediately and say, hey, here's the situation. But it was like, we're about to leave these two little things. Like, oh man.
That's great. I love that you called your wife.
Oh yeah. I mean, obviously, have to.
Wisdom,
so there's gotta be those safeguards, but it does. I think we can become like petrified. I'm again not advocating for going and having lunch by yourself with the opposite sex in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
But since we're taking these weird, like, what if extremes,
See the other. Go ahead, Dex.
Yeah, let me just recap everybody for everybody. We're talking about Mike Pence. He was in the news recently, and because he was attacked by everybody online because they found out that he won't eat alone with any woman who's not his wife. He won't go to any restaurant, any place that serves alcohol without his wife. And I'd be kind of curious to see what are the reasons why? Is it for him so he doesn't trip up and mess up? Is it for his wife so she feels comfortable, you know, because being, you know, in the political field and being, you know, I mean, Mike Pence is known around the world now. And so you put yourself out there.
A lot of eyes on him.
Yeah. Everybody's watching you, waiting for you to mess up. So I get why he's doing that, but everybody's mocking him for it.
Yeah. I think part of it is because our world integrity isn't a big deal to people anymore.
It's funny though. Somebody just made this comment and it's true. They said, I think it's funny how people ridiculed Trump for being sexist, but now they're ridiculing Pence for respecting his wife.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that?
Yeah. Which is just proof that you, it doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
Everybody, there's somebody who's going to criticize what you do.
Yeah. Yep.
And particularly when you take a stand for righteousness or propriety's sake or integrity's sake, there's going to be some attack because the other people, the folks that are attacking don't care about that stuff.
Yeah.
They don't,
yeah.
You know, and a lot of it is because that's not the world they live in. Integrity is not an issue for them because they don't understand what it means to have integrity. They don't need it necessarily, they think.
585 Live if you want to text in. 585-5483. Live line's blowing up.
Yeah.
So we'll read some of those those text messages. You can also call us at 338-3700. We'll be right back.
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
100,000 people are expected to descend on Phoenix and suburban Glendale for all the Final Four festivities. With the FanFest Arena open, concerts, the Diamondback season opener, and the Suns also home.
Fox News is facing a lawsuit from two employees. They accuse the network of tolerating racial discrimination.
McDonald's says it will replace frozen beef with fresh patties in quarter pounders.
The Senate Intelligence Committee holds its first public hearing into Russian meddling in last year's presidential election.
A federal judge in Hawaii has extended an order blocking enforcement of the president's revised travel ban.
Ivanka Trump is becoming an official government employee and will serve as an unpaid advisor to her father in the White House.
There's been a spike in pedestrian deaths, up 11% last year.
The days of buying things tax-free from Amazon are coming to an end.
In a spacewalk, astronauts lost an important piece of shielding needed for the International Space Station.
North Carolina scraps a law requiring transgender people to use bathrooms corresponding with the sex listed on their birth certificate.
The U.S. Census Bureau says it does not plan to add questions about sexual orientation and gender identity to the 2020 census and other federal surveys.
Good morning, 837.
High today of 60 degrees. Taking a look at the roads. The shoulder is blocked, I-40 East at Rio Grande. That's exit 157 in the cleanup stages of an accident there. Also, Rio Grande Boulevard approaching I-40 at Aspen. There's a secondary accident there. So that's just kind of jamming up the whole area. Other than that, no other accidents to report at this time. Let's take a look at traffic.
Traffic!
Well, it just came out that Mike Pence has a strict rule where he won't eat a meal alone with any woman who's not his wife and won't go to any event serving alcohol without her. And people, of course, are online mocking him and making fun of him, and we don't know the reasons why he set it up that way. We can only speculate, but a lot of people chiming in, 585 Live, you know, wondering about certain situations. And Jason, Pastor Jason Mills, hanging out with us right now.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Jason? You had something to add?
Yeah, so I was listening to this driving into work today, and I called, and I knew you were screening my calls, so I just came in.
I was.
Yeah. You can just sense it.
I wish we had car ID sometimes.
You need to get a lock on the door, man.
Yeah, you're like, South Carolina, no way. Not happening. So I was listening to this, and I'm like, I'm not surprised by this at all. Either one, that he has the rule, and two, that people are mocking him. The first one is that he's most likely following a version of the Modesto Manifesto, which is a list of three rules that Billy Graham and his team set up way on back in the day that identify the three places that pastors and evangelists fall in ministry and then taking hard steps to prevent those things. And number one on there is not spending time alone or dining alone with a member of the opposite sex who is not your spouse or family member. And
what if they're like a really close friend?
Like a father figure.
What if you've known him forever and they're like,
then you go to Arby's where everyone can see you.
No, I'm just I'm being totally snarky. I'm just
exactly.
kidding.
No,
I'm being
you,
a jerk
Steve-O?
Right now. I'm so frustrated with people.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is like, and by the way, this rule isn't in the Bible. You're not a bad person if you don't follow this. Nor does everyone have to follow this. They're saying for us, we see people falling left, right, and center who are in the same calling as us, and we don't want that to happen to us.
Yeah, okay. We want to put protection around ourselves. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, it would be foolish not to.
Absolutely.
If you're seeing everyone around you get the flu and you just keep shaking hands with people, touching doorknobs, and not taking any medicine, you're a dumb, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they took steps to do that. And the other two rules on there, in case you're wondering, are rules about money and then rules about not saying critical things about the church, which, man, I wish we could return to some of these sometimes.
Right?
Yeah. We need help with that one too, don't we?
Yeah.
I hear you, bro.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And that's hard too, because sometimes you're like, but he's wrong. Yeah. You're like, okay, I'm just going to let it go.
Right. That's when you go have a private lunch with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to him. Yeah.
Just a private lunch behind the woodshed.
Yeah.
But so the fact that Pence,
Louisville slugger.
Who is a public figure, like a pastor or an evangelist, and is apparently a Christian or a believer, that he would have a rule like this is incredibly common and rational. And the fact that, too, he has the alcohol rule in there, dude, I don't know what he struggled with when he was like 18 or 20. You know, I don't know what his past is like. If he knows that he has a propensity to overdrink, then he's being very wise to say, hey, wife, come with me. They're having this thing, and I just want to make sure I'm going to keep the promise I made to myself, the promise I made to you, or the promise I made to our children, and the promise I've made to the Constitution, you know, having been sworn in as the vice president. So the fact that people would be like, me to this, I'm like, oh, really, man, walk into this.
Just, I think it's frustrating because just the fact that they mocked President Trump. I mean, rightly so, as a sexist, you know, and I'm not saying I got to be careful because I know people that just love him.
Listen, he has said a lot of really detrimental
things
that are just like softball pitches for people to make critiques about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So but he can definitely come off as a sexist, but then it's frustrating because those same friends in turn are bashing like a guy that's like a good guy.
Right. And I was telling this to you earlier is that the same people who are, you know, they don't know anything about the church. They're not believers. They're not part of the church or the culture or anything like that, who are making fun of Pence for making this stand. I guarantee you a wide majority of them also follow and idolize certain people in the entertainment industry who have the exact opposite view of this, are serial daters, marriages, and adulterers, and it's okay. It's just great things to read about in the tabloids. And I'm just like, man, your priorities are just so messed up.
So whack. Totally.
Somebody sent us a quote direct from the man himself. Vice President Pence said, quote, "It's about building a zone around your marriage. I don't think it's a predatory town, but I think you can inadvertently send the wrong messages by being in certain situations."
Amen.
Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah. Somebody chimed in, though, with a question. What about a guy who's like a fatherly figure type? Is it wrong to be alone with him? I don't have a dad, and this person has become like a dad to me and helps me out with a lot of stuff.
Okay, so again, this comes back to, you know, these three laws we were talking about are set up by a man for specific purpose at a specific kind of job. And so they don't apply to everyone. And so this person has to make their own wise judgment about the character of this individual. As you said, Steve-O, earlier, you can't just trust everybody.
Right.
And it depends on the man's age, your situation, what if you're married, if you're what your spouse thinks about it, where you do that. Are you talking like a counseling kind of thing after church, grabbing lunch at a chicken place during the work week out in public, or are you talking about hanging out in their soundproof basement late at night at their house?
Who has a soundproof basement but killers?
That just that just got dark real fast.
So you picked up on that.
Really, that took a turn.
Yeah. I was expecting at least like and some middle areas.
It's beginning
first.
To sound like it was an intentional turn. I'm freaking out.
Why would I do that?
And here's another thing, you know, that I want people to be aware of, and I'm not saying to this person who texted in that that this father figure is in any way
dumber.
I will be your father evil person.
I thought it was dark a moment ago. Now it's really dark.
I never George Michael coming here.
George Michael.
I recently got sit down.
The end
Cut his mic.
Dump it. Dump it.
He's caressing you.
I got to.
That's my favorite song.
I got to sit down with a couple girls who were open about. They're adults now, and they were open about the times when they were children and how they were molested.
Right,
and it was so sad to hear how it happened because these men, these grown adults, they groomed them. They got these kids to trust them as a father figure.
Well,
Boom, you know, the next thing you know, it's
But that's not even just male female relationship. There know what I mean?
Have a friend who went through that.
Boys.
A guy friend who went through that exact same thing by another guy in the church and had years where he had to kind of deal with that like a really young age.
Yeah. So we got to be really careful. You know, you got to be on the alert for that stuff. It's not saying that person.
No, that just prompted in your mind that good warning. That's a good warning. But if
they're singing Father Figure by George Michael to you, yeah. run.
If they say their favorite artist is George Michael.
I didn't say he's my favorite artist. I just said that's my favorite George Michael song. Okay. Y'all don't like Father Figure? That song is the jam.
I haven't seen Wedding Singer in a long time.
It's
so.
Not... I mean, gosh. It's from childhood, not Wedding Singer, man. It's just life. It's called George Michael, man! Yeah. R.I.P., man.
R.I.P.
Line's blowing up. Somebody said, I work in a very customer-oriented industry, and sometimes I have to deliver applications, or I used to meet sometimes with people for lunch who are clients. But I feel the same way. I don't ever want to be alone with a man by myself. I don't want there to be any kind of implications or misunderstandings or perceptions that I may be doing something with someone other than my husband. But on the other hand, there's a woman in my office who's constantly pining over my boss, who's married and has 8 kids. And it's just weird. So being the light in this office, I pray constantly that the Lord would keep us from doing anything we're not supposed to be doing and that he would be with us all day. So we're not just the way the world is. Nobody has respect for relationships anymore. It's really sad that even when someone knows you're married, it does not matter to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody else did chime in saying, I'm also guessing that Vice President Pence couldn't give a crap about people negatively commenting on his decision.
Oh,
he
sure.
seems yeah, like he just, he, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you know, too, like, because if you remember, like, early on in after the inauguration, Pence went to go see the musical Hamilton, right? And after the show, some of the, at the, you know, at the final bow, some of the people knew that he was in the audience, and Hamilton is really about, its core about, ethnic diversity, about people who are immigrants getting a fair shot in America, and a lot, that's part of what it's about. And they kind of use that opportunity while they're on stage after the show is over to speak to Pence directly from the stage and express some concerns.
Yeah.
And people went into an outrage, and the Donald was like tweeting, like, I can't believe they would do this. But when you actually listen to what Pence said, he was like, I appreciated that young man using speaking intelligently and calmly to me about the things he was concerned about, and that's what America is about, and I'm glad he expressed that to me.
He responded very well.
Yeah, he responded really well, unlike some other people, and was just like super cool with it and was like, yeah, it's called freedom of speech. It's America. Great. You know, at the end of a play about all of those same things.
Right. So. Yeah, we're talking about Mike Pence has a strict rule where he won't eat a meal alone with any woman who's not his wife. He won't go to any event serving alcohol without her. And what was the reason somebody texted in? He said it's just so
putting boundaries around his marriage.
Yeah, putting boundaries around his marriage.
Yeah, safety zone around his marriage.
Safety zone.
And most people chiming in agreement. You know, this one, I think it's not a good idea to have lunch alone with the opposite sex if you're married. Mm-hmm. False accusations, temptations, assumptions, jealousy. There's just too many variables, man. Yeah.
What about you guys for like social media? If you get like a friend request on Facebook like a coworker who's a female or someone you've known from, you know, from church or from the gym or whatever.
My wife and I went through this, you know, back
when, like not being friends with them on Facebook?
Yeah, or they send you a request and it's a lady.
Maybe you don't know them.
Or maybe you do or you know them socially or something. Do you just go, yep, agree? Or do you go, hey, Chrissy, hey, Andrea, hey, female Dex.
My wife and I went through this.
Leslie, yes, I knew this.
Facebook first started, you know, I would get messages from girls and stuff, you know, needing advice, you know, and it was tough for my wife because she would see me responding, and it was one of those things where I always would give her the Facebook password.
Yep.
She was always had access to any of my apps, so she could jump on at any time.
Yep.
I always wanted to and always tried to, you know, involve her in any messages that I would get from the person from the opposite sex. But I totally understand how it could be uncomfortable for our significant others.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think it's... Leslie always says, it's not that I don't trust you, it's that I don't trust them, you know? And I don't want to put myself in any situation where I feel like I could stumble either. So that's why I always keep it open for my wife to just know exactly what I'm
absolutely.
Doing.
Absolutely. Steve-O's trying to say something.
Yeah. No, I'm just...
trying not to say
and
something?
And it's not even being devil's advocate because we got a few comments about that very thing on Facebook. Because the idea that I trust you, I just don't trust other people.
Yeah.
I don't 100% agree with that because that there still in turn would be a trust. There's a trust issue because if they trust you, then they should know that you would be above reproach.
Right.
Right. And they would believe that you're not going to put yourself in a situation that would, and I'm not saying that it's okay, again, because I'm just trying to pick the other, because not everybody's in agreement with what y'all are saying. You know what I mean? Like, so, there are some pretty angry people on Facebook, or on our live line right now.
There are angry people on the internet?
So for that reason, I want to not just, you know what I mean? I'd like to let them have a voice.
Right. But trust doesn't mean carte blanche. It doesn't mean you can just do whatever you want.
No. And you know,
and so, like, for me and my wife, I thought, like, you know, when I worked in retail before, and we've, you know, we have a lot of social circles, and we know a lot of people on across the country, and I'll get a request from somebody, and if it's a female, I always, even if it's a mutual friend, I'm like, hey, Dre, are you cool with this person?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. And there's been, like, probably four or five times in our 14 years of marriage where she's like, no.
Wow.
And
Was I one of them?
Well, we got to talk about that.
Is that why we're not friends?
Not something you say on air.
I don't even use Facebook, really. But I'm serious. Yeah. I had to get one for here. And so I just accept.
Yeah,
accept,
exactly. And, you know, and that's a little bit different because I'm not a public figure, not like you guys are.
I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate Facebook.
Yeah. different conversation, but
yeah.
But that's the thing is, like, and I don't even ask her, like, well, why? You know, because it, like, here's the thing. If it causes my wife to feel uneasy, whether she should feel uneasy is irrelevant. Right. She does, and that is valid, that is real, and absolutely not worth it.
Totally.
For me to see their vacation pics, their pics of their dinner, and their cat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good.
Somebody just chimed in and said, oh my gosh, if you don't trust your partner or yourself, you need to be working on that more than just not having lunch with a person of the opposite sex.
That's one thing I don't understand when people say, when, you know, people flip out over this conversation that they're having, that we're having about, oh my gosh, I trust my partner so much. I don't care what he does because I trust my partner.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Being wise and trusting are the same thing.
Exactly. I don't get that. You know, I trust my wife. She trusts me, but also I don't really trust myself, you know, at times. You know, I'm not saying if a beautiful woman came in my path and offered herself to me, I would hope that I would be like, get away from me, and I'd run like crazy, you know, but you know,
your cardio sucks. You wouldn't run like crazy. Right.
run as
maybe
crazy as you
light
can.
Jog.
Yeah. I want to put myself
in 20 or 30 minutes. You'd be away.
I want to make sure that I'm in a good situation. I'm not put in a bad situation.
Yeah,
absolutely. But how many people who have made a poor choice and have gone down that road trusted themselves before that happened?
Exactly.
Right. Like, or just didn't think about it.
Yeah.
I wasn't even on the radar.
Right.
I trust King David. He's a man for God's own heart.
Right. Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, he has a history of multiple wives, but I mean, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, he wants to build the temple. It's great. You know, I'm all, come on. Like, yes, trust your spouse. Trust yourself. Yeah. Trust God.
Right.
But recognize that you live in a real world with real problems and situations you cannot foresee.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I trust myself, but at the same time, Scripture says, don't walk in the path of the wicked.
Right.
Like, so don't go places you shouldn't go.
Exactly.
You know, I trust myself. I can hang on this cracked end, no big deal. Yeah. Like, no, that's not how that works.
How many times have we heard people, you know, that their marriage isn't going very well, and they start hanging out with somebody from the opposite sex just to get some advice, and he's just my friend, and all of a sudden, I think I'm in love.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I didn't mean for it to happen.
It's a slippery
slope, you know?
For sure.
And on top of this, too, for the people who, like, the person who texted that in is like, we're not saying you're wrong for having the relationship you have.
Right. No, absolutely
not. I'm just saying is that if that's how your relationship works, great. I'm just cautioning people to be wise.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I've decided for myself, for me and my house. This is what a lot of other people in public figures and pastors who have made this decision, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
And we're simply trying to be wise. It's not a judgment, but rather a judgment call for ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody chimed in and said, as a recovering alcoholic, I don't trust myself enough to go somewhere that serves alcohol without my mom or my daughter. I admire Vice President Pence for knowing he needs his wife to be there, whether he's an alcoholic or not, with the alcohol one, or, you know. Somebody said, what if we flip this around with a woman saying that she wouldn't have dinner with another man other than her husband? Would the culture have had the same response?
I think they would.
You think they would?
I really think they would.
If an actress said, oh, I won't go to dinner with you know, a fellow
actor. I'm not surprised by any reaction to this at all. I mean, on both sides. That's just the way people are.
It's just
if,
the way
if somebody came out and said that, a very public lady. Well, I remember a long time ago. I can't remember. I think it was.
But what if Oprah said it?
There was, yeah, if Oprah said it,
if Oprah said it, everybody would
it's
eat
almost
it up.
Scripture, right? If it's if Oprah said it, just,
and you
that's
get
sarcastic.
A lunch,
did
and
you hear the sarcasm in my voice?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. You felt that. There's a light that goes off.
I just remember that there was a celebrity couple a few years ago. This is a bunch of years ago that they were kind of dating and going to get married, and they had said that they weren't going to they were going to abstain from any kind of physical relations until they got married. And I remember people freaking out over that, and the female. Was the lady was the one who was saying she's the one that started the conversation and people were freaking out over that. So that's why, Steve-O, I think that
they would
if it was a lady who said the same thing, that it would be that the reaction would be the same. It might be a different group of people reacting to it, but I think there would be an equal reaction from a different group of folks.
I think nowadays that they would probably get invited to The View and be praised for their decision without any irony or sarcasm whatsoever.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that's a strong feminine stance, right on. And I'm like, yeah, but it's also a very strong male stance to do the same thing, too. I mean,
come on.
Yeah.
Man.
585 Live, if you want to text in. We are talking about Mike Pence and how he won't eat alone with any woman who's not his wife. And people are going crazy online. And we're not surprised.
Yeah.
But a lot of people chiming in, have their different opinions, thoughts, and we'd love to hear them. You can also call us at 338-3700. We'll be right back.
Heartbeat again.
The Waiting Kind, Heartbeat, Star 88. Hello.
Mm.
Dex and Steve-O.
Sam
Swan. 903.
High today of 60 degrees.
How are the roads out there?
Terrible. I-25 North at Avenida Cesar Chavez, exit 223. The center lane is blocked right there due to an accident. It was reported about 15 minutes ago, so hopefully it's able to get moved over to the right-hand side. But currently, it's just jamming everything up I-25 North before the big I. Other than that, it looks like the accident on I-40 at Rio Grande, it's moved off to the side and traffic is flowing a little smoother now. There's a vehicle on fire, Jefferson, at I-25. There are some serious southbound restrictions because of it. That's your look at traffic.
Giraffe Watch.
I have been waiting all show.
Guys, currently there are 217,634 people watching the YouTube video at the Animal Adventure Park. April is supposedly going to have that baby any minute now.
Hasn't it been any minute for like 2 weeks?
That's what I feel like.
A couple days ago, some vets came out and said, you know what? April's showing signs that it's going to happen.
April Fool's joke.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm waiting for tomorrow for the big news. It was an April Fool's joke.
But, people have been. Man.
I mean, she would have to be wearing a fake pregnancy suit because look at her belly. It's huge.
That doesn't mean anything, man.
She herself is huge.
Yeah.
Well, she's a large animal. When I first started this like 2 years ago, when I first started watching this video 2 years ago, she was skinny and now she's huge.
Yeah, okay.
You know, maybe they're overfeeding her. I don't know.
We had so many people this morning asking for this.
So much sadness in the statement 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm crying for you right now, Dave. Yeah.
But it's funny because usually this video averages right around 50,000.
But today...
we're at 218,000.
Because of the...
Yeah, it's crazy. So something's happening. It hopefully will happen Monday. Or this hour, because I want it to happen on the show, man. You know? Just want it to happen on the show.
That would be good radio.
It'll probably happen in the middle of the night when nobody's watching.
When nobody's watching.
Yeah.
That would be my favorite.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
That would be you're
going
to have to do Facebook Live or something. And just,
perfect! I don't know about perfect, guys, but...
near perfect.
If you missed any of the show this morning, you have to hit the podcast after the show, because we have Belle Biv DeVoe on the show.
Pretty terrible.
Steve-O's very first band. His mom took him to.
The first concert I picked. I'd been to shows before that, but that was the first one where I was like, this is my show. got to take me to this show.
My favorite thing is that, you know, they didn't know what type of station we were, so they were like, you got to play our jam.
Yo, bump our jam. I'm sure with the top shelf morning show like yours, constantly blah.
Yeah.
They were really like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever.
That's funny.
It was pretty funny. You gotta listen to it. So hit the podcast. It's it's up there at our app. If you haven't downloaded the new Star 88 FM app, go do it. Podcast is right there. Or you can go to star88.fm and get our podcast right at the page.
There we go.
Anything else you wanted to talk about that has to do with Pence, or are we going to move on?
Oh, man. No, yeah. I'm good. Okay, yeah. Yeah. People chiming in.
Yeah. But we discussed Pence and not going out to dinner with a person of the opposite sex. You know, we talked about that for about an hour or so. Hit the podcast. It'll be up after the show. Facebook is now going to let your friends ask for donations, and they're going to take a cut.
Yeah.
So you know how people now will post the
GoFundMe.
Oh yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Now Facebook is saying, well, you don't have to do that anymore because we have our own GoFundMe type thing. They're going to take a cut, which is about 6.9% of whatever you collect. Which they say goes towards the payment processing fees, fundraising vetting, security, and fraud protection. So, and they say they're adding this feature to set up a safe way to get money in times of need. And I mean, GoFundMe has been great. I mean, that's been a really cool thing for people, especially. I mean, we've read stories over the years of people that have lost everything, and then somebody puts out a GoFundMe page and they raise money for this family to get a house,
right?
You know,
right. They lost something in the fire, right? You know, their house burned down or whatever.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's
wonderful. I recently, you know, I've never done one before, but my daughter needed to go to Disneyland on her show choir trip, and money was tight. And so for an easy way for my family and friends to, you know, help out, I did a GoFundMe, and boom, 3 days later, she's going to Disneyland.
Oh, wow.
You know?
That's great.
And it's just so cool, you know, to be able to do that. And it's easy for family, you know, instead of, you know, writing a check.
Right.
Here, go to this site, and you can pay right through there. Yeah. But GoFundMe, of course, takes a cut as well.
Yeah. Is it the same percentage, roughly?
I'm not sure what that percentage is.
I was just curious.
I'm guessing it's probably around the same, but I mean, 6.9%. Kind of seems a little steep.
Yeah, it sounds a little high.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I get it. They have to
have almost 7%.
Almost 7%. 6.9% just looks better, right?
I got a D in math, but I figured that out.
Yeah.
That's what they say. That's what marketers say.
Yeah.
If it has 99, who doesn't round up?
Right.
99 never sounds good to me.
Right.
$6.99. In my head, I'm going, that's $7.
Yeah.
I don't know who taught this in marketing school.
Right.
For prices and stuff, but it's a lie.
But the
and
thing
I'm
is,
just, I'm calling all the marketing.
But I'm the opposite of you because I see $6.99 and I just automatically think that that's
really
because I see a six.
Oh yeah, because you think that's
really?
Like, yeah. See, I'm different than
dicks.
Yeah. See, and I think I'm the norm. They do that on purpose. You know, like my kids, they do the same thing. You know, they see $6.99 and they immediately say that's $6, Dad.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it's $7. But at the same time, your eyes get fixed on the six.
Maybe it's because I'm more of a pessimist. I don't
maybe.
Know. I see the negativity.
I'm with you because I always
$6.99
round
is
up.
$7. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I get that. I but it's just more of like the eye thing of seeing the six.
Right. And that's probably where that comes from. Right. I'm sure there's some psychological business.
That's what it is.
Thing that somebody did spent billions, $1.9 million to figure it out.
Yep.
That's $2 million.
Yeah. See.
Amazing.
I don't know.
That's. I want to say it's a cool idea, but Facebook's just taking over everything.
Well, like we talked about this morning, it's not really. It's not their idea.
Yeah,
I mean, right. They're just.
They're just. They're jumping on the bandwagon.
They're taking everybody else's ideas and saying, "Okay, well, it's working for everybody else, so we're going to do it too."
Yeah.
They just recently did the stories
update
on Facebook where. Instagram was doing that, and Instagram stole that from Snapchat.
Right.
And, man, Periscope, is that – do people still Periscope anymore? Because that used to be the only place where you could go live.
Yeah, I think
Facebook Live and other
– Instagram Live
Instagram Live has taken that over. I don't know if Periscope
I don't know how big it was. Yeah. I know it's there, but I don't think it's as big.
Yeah.
So GoFundMe charges 8%, by the way.
Oh, wow. So Facebook is a lot cheaper.
Oh, they're coming in.
They're not only are they stealing the idea, but they're coming in under. They're undercutting.
I was reading this article. I mentioned this earlier, but I mean, yeah, no, that's it. You don't even have to be an innovator anymore if you're at the top of your game. You just steal it or buy it out. And that's how Facebook has become. I mean, they're at the top. Oh, we like this idea from Instagram? Let's just buy Instagram.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's just take that Snapchat. Let's just do it. This is, we'll just own everything.
Yeah.
And we eat it up. We're okay with it, apparently.
I reckon.
Mm.
Yeah, man. They're taking over the world.
Yeah, they are. I do love those new
filters. But I have to ask this, too. Wasn't MySpace first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Facebook isn't even the original in and of itself. It took the idea of MySpace and kind of tweaked it.
Kind of, yeah.
Invitation only, because I remember it first started out, it was targeted towards college kids, because I had, when I was in Crucis, I had MySpace, and some of the college kids that I was dealing with at the church and hanging out with, they were saying, hey, this new thing, so I got invited to that, and I got on Facebook.
Yeah.
And now I don't use Facebook.
But MySpace was never one of those sites that you could, you know, post. So like you could go to your page and you could make your page look, you could put your song of the day.
Yeah.
But you know, as far as like posting on a news feed, that was all Facebook, right?
But Facebook wasn't exactly like it is now. It was more like MySpace when it first started. And then what it did is it continued to evolve and MySpace kind of didn't evolve in that same way.
Facebook was so weird to me to start, man.
Well, yeah, what they do is they grab They might steal the initial idea, but then they tweak it and kind of make it better or make it their own in a certain way. So there is a little bit of
ingenuity.
Ingenuity. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. That my old man brain wasn't functioning.
But that's just the way everything.
That
works,
way it is. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
If,
yeah.
If somebody comes out with that new invention, then all of a sudden there's all these companies that are going to do the same thing. They're going to try to, you know, do it their way or make it. It
always drives me crazy when people, when the corporation, they do something and they say new and improved.
Right.
I'm like, wait a minute. Is it new or is it improved? It cannot be both. Can it? If it's brand new, it's new. It didn't improve on something. Just a little.
Now you're making my brain crazy.
I know.
Like, oh, I've never thought about that. Never thought about that.
They also ask questions like, do you want a pain reliever that works? No, I just like taking pills. I don't care if they work or not.
Right?
I just, you know, advertisers, no offense to anybody in advertising, but they're lying to you. That's what
Somebody said it's definitely not a new concept to buy innovation out. RCA did it with Philo Farnsworth, and Edison did that to Tesla.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're one of those people listening right now that hates Facebook, hates social networks, hates smartphones, well, maybe you should travel to this small town where they have no Wi-Fi and no smartphones.
Oh, really?
There's a town in America where there is no Wi-Fi and no smartphones. It's let's see, Green Bank has a population of 143 people and is known as the quietest town in America. And its residents enjoy the enforced lack of technology, describing the town as an oasis.
Oh, man.
Where Green Bank is at. The reason for the radio silence is the nearby Robert C. Byrd Green Bank Telescope. It's a 485-foot sensitive radio instrument which listens for distant signals. The telescope can pick up signals as faint as about a billionth of a billionth of a millionth of a watt. Local store owner, Sherry, we've never really had it. We do it the old-fashioned way. Phones attached to the wall jacks are the only way to call someone in Green Banks, and local officials track down any rogue devices which are transmitting radio waves.
See, and that's why they don't have any Wi-Fi or technology.
Yeah, because that super sensitive antenna.
Man.
So the NSA can listen to us through that antenna.
It enables astronomers to detect and study objects in space, like they, and by the way, it's in West Virginia. Looking at it now, but it's like, whoa, that
antenna
crazy.
Looks pretty intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would be amazing to go to a town like that.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of going back in time.
These are actual like FCC regulated restrictions that started in the 1950s. So they've been without any of that since the 50s.
Wow.
They put these, it's a national radio quiet zone, a 13,000 square mile swath of like, you know,
sparsely populated countryside, but it straddles West Virginia, Virginia, and Maryland. And so the use of airwaves inside this zone is completely regulated so that the high-tech telescopes at Greenbank and nearby Sugar Grove can operate with minimal disturbances. So you can't use, But if you live there, obviously it's because you want that kind of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, or you've
that
never
almost sounds so
if you
lovely.
If you grew up in a town like that though and you never
if you didn't know
had,
any different if you didn't know any different
that's
how would
the thing.
You yeah
I was reading recently too with telescopes, you know, because they have telescopes, you know, all over the world, so they can you know, look out into space, and because of pollution now they're having a hard time seeing the stars, seeing the planets, because of the pollution, and so they're trying to invent new ways to keep the pollution down, because a lot of the telescopes that they've placed into these certain areas, they can't pick up these stars anymore
because
it's getting so bad.
Yeah.
So how's this for irony? They work, these scientists work at, you know, with one of the most advanced instruments, but at lunchtime, like, they can't even use a microwave.
Oh, I was going to ask that.
To heat their lunch.
Oh, my gosh.
There are no microwaves.
In the entire town, or just at the site?
No, because you can't. It's like all of these crazy frequencies, and it emits that. there was actually a time where the astronomers were baffled because there was some weird distortion in their data and couldn't figure it out.
Oh, Martha was on the microwave. She was heating her burrito.
No, dude, check this out. There was errant energy waves that were coming from battery-operated fans sold in the gift shop at the facility.
What? Wow.
Battery operated fans. So that's how sensitive it is.
They couldn't have anything battery operated. Do they have TV?
The fan made some sort of a noise. It wasn't necessarily sending out a radio signal, but it was making a fan noise. Is that what it's saying? That it picked it up?
That's all it's saying is they discovered energy waves that were being emitted from battery operated fans sold in the gift shop.
That antenna needs to get over itself. It's just way too sensitive.
No kidding.
But yeah, dude, I'm on the flip side, they're like discovering. Yeah,
it really would.
Well, but
you couldn't film it. Or if you did, you'd have to use the old 8mm camera.
That's true. Oh, that's funny,
man. That's like, seriously. Yeah, we'll never know what it's like because you can't really film any. I mean, like, how would you?
Yeah, so if you travel to that town, are there just signs everywhere that say you can't use your smartphone?
I guess if you used a digital video camera that is not connected to Wi-Fi while it's recording, and then you went away.
But your battery's in the
corner. I don't think it was the battery that was creating the issue. Yeah. I think the fan was creating energy from blowing the fan.
But man, that sounds crazy. So what, you can't have like a ceiling fan? Like, I don't know.
Because I want to know more.
I do too.
Let's get Ken Burns out there to check this out.
Officers have to communicate by radio on a frequency that doesn't interfere with the observatory, so they do use walkie-talkies.
So certain frequencies don't necessarily affect.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they have to all, but because of that, they can't even use like mobile computers in their cars to run background checks, anything like that. So I mean, you pull someone over and it's like. hey, Martha, I got a plate that I need y'all to run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Ocean Ida Victor 469er.
Yeah. Man.
West Virginia.
Sheriff David Jones actually says he prefers to operate the old-fashioned way. With the quiet zone and observatory bringing to this community, I'd much rather have that than what communication brings. So, man.
It's pretty crazy.
Their annual operating costs are upwards of $10 million. So...
the facility?
Yeah, just to keep that thing going and to ensure everything. Yeah.
Greenbank, West Virginia, population 143, known as the quietest town in America.
And if you go visit, is there like a guard?
That's the question.
If I drive up there with my smartphone, do they stop me at the gate and say, this is a no smartphone zone, leave it here in this bin, we'll sign?
You would think they would have to, you know?
Almost.
Well, I just think of like my car... I got a new car.
Yeah.
Can I drive through there? Because my car has...
Does it have built-in Wi-Fi?
It doesn't have built-in Wi-Fi, but it's got those capabilities. So it's got, like, the potential for built-in, like Pandora's built into my car.
It is
a computer. And so all of that's built in. I don't pay for those services, so I don't have them, but it's got the capabilities within them. And it's Bluetooth. Everything's Bluetooth. So
Yeah, does Bluetooth count as one of those frequencies, or does that work on a different?
I don't know.
I got a D in science, curious. So I don't know.
Yeah, right. So I would assume so because it's using frequencies
it
to
transmit. It's using the Bluetooth frequencies, which is on a different part of the spectrum. Ooh, I sounded smart there.
Somebody said, just think about this. Nobody in that town has ever listened to Star 88. How sad.
Oh. Well, they have regular computers, just not Wi-Fi.
I mean,
because it doesn't say they don't have the internet. It can be there if it's hardwired.
That's true. It
because they have telephones.
But that's an assumption because we don't know if that's really it.
Well,
but.
Google it.
Yeah, because it says
ask the Google.
No smartphones. In fact, no mobiles at all. No Wi-Fi. No radio. It doesn't say anything.
But that is sad if they haven't ever heard.
Yeah.
You guys on Star 88.
You're right.
Just cell phones, basically, so far. It's like, no,
I bet they have internet access, just hardwire internet, like Ethernet.
Yeah, no, there's no, your cell phone drops reception, your radio spins, unable to pick up any stations. I mean, they have things in place to where...
Like signal jammers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like...
So, yeah, so no, they CIA have not stuff. Listened to Star 88.
Unless they have a hardwired internet.
Man, cell phones and all wireless devices in general are banned. Wow. Yeah. And it's prosecutable by law if you use them the safe zone.
Oh, my goodness.
That's so crazy.
That's okay. It's against the law to text and drive, and people still do it.
Yeah.
You could get away with it. Although radio signals, you could pick up on those, I guess, since they're monitoring those.
I love this. Somebody commenting, what do they do while they're going to the bathroom? Like. So true. You know,
man,
I remember the last time I read a bathroom and I forgot my phone and I was like, oh, wait a second. What am I supposed to do right now?
Yeah.
So this telescope can hear sounds from hundreds of millions of miles away, which is crazy.
That's just phenomenal to me.
Yeah. So there's no way somebody just said, how do you think hardwired internet works? Like, it's still got to have a signal coming from somewhere.
Yeah, but hardwired. They can't have a telephone without having it hard, like fiber optic cable. Mm.
Fiber optic cable run through the ground all the way out of West Virginia into?
Well, at least out of the zone, the quiet zone.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. 15,000 square whatevers.
I mean, it doesn't. If it's a shielded cable, it wouldn't emit any kind of a signal from the cable.
I'm like, I want to know if they have the internet.
That's what I want to know, too. I'm very curious.
Yeah, we're talking about this.
I would assume so.
Talking about this town.
What we got to do is try to get a hold of somebody in that town and ask them if they've ever heard us over the internet.
That's You know what?
Can we call them?
Let's try to call like a diner or something.
They have phones.
Oh, right.
It's because they have phones hardwired.
Steve, try to find a diner in Green Bank, West Virginia.
But here's the crazy thing, man.
Call the general store.
So... There was interference.
Or just yell loud enough. That telescope's sensitive enough. It'll hear us.
This is how sensitive this town is. There was interference running when they were rocking their telescope, and they couldn't figure it out, and they began doing research, and it turned out to be a heating pad in a doghouse. When the dog got wet and slept on the blanket, the heating pad sent out bursts of energy that disrupted the work at the observatory.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how sensitive this town is. So,
you got to get somebody on the phone.
Like, imagine on the flip side being, like, I'm reading this article on CNN, and they make this statement, like, imagine being a scientist who waited a lifetime to use this telescope, only to have all your data lost because of a wet dog a mile down the road.
Man.
Like... That's how sensitive they are to it. So, I mean...
I don't know.
Now, we're talking about this town, Green Bank, West Virginia. It has 143 people.
There are no stoplights?
It has no Wi-Fi, no smartphones are allowed because of this satellite that they have.
This is another example of the government putting us down, man.
Or it's a telescope they have.
Here's the thing. I've discovered some things, man.
Oh, okay. You've been reading?
Yep. There's one gas station in the entire town. There are no stoplights. There are only three in all of the county, in fact. There's one church, Church of God, stands at the south of town.
We need a Baptist. They have
ham radios. They have landline telephones. They do have the internet.
Okay.
Either with dial-up service or Ethernet cable. However, there are a few in town who have confessed that they, in fact, have Wi-Fi. But that is, they were like...
can't talk about this.
Yeah, like Wi-Fi just in their house.
It's on the down low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They're not
Face is obscured and their voice is seen into this, right? So it'd be like, I have Wi-Fi.
Well, it's the scientists know that there are few in town.
Oh, I got
And
you.
They started pointing it out.
Oh. Yeah.
And you could tell they were greatly annoyed.
We know who you are.
Yeah. So guilty parties using Wi-Fi so they could pinpoint this house.
Roy Harbor, we know you.
Goodness.
Yeah. Yep.
You go tell Bubba to turn off that Wi-Fi.
So they have to switch to different frequencies, obviously, so that it won't disrupt.
Yeah.
So he's never sought prosecution of the people who have picked up Wi-Fi because there's only a couple in town.
Yeah.
But they've had to make sure that the frequencies are not interrupting.
Weird, though. It's that, you know, it seems like there would be laws that would, you know, keep you safe from being able to have Wi-Fi. And if you wanted to have a smartphone, you should be able to have that if you wanted it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
dude, they are way off the grid. Somebody said, I want to live there. Sounds like they're off the grid. Like, that's not, they don't even know what the grid is.
Yeah.
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 It's funny because I kind of grew up in this town I grew up in. It was small, but then I went to school 30 minutes away that was like this. We had one gas station. We had a bar. And the gas station was the general store.
Yeah.
And that was it. And it was just, the town was on one side of the highway. There was a school, and then there was some homes in the town. It was Harrison, Montana. And it was population probably, I would guess, even less than 143 people where I went to school. There was cows that were grazing on the football field. I mean, that's where I grew up. So I get this way of living.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, totally.
It was very laid back, and it was a community that just, that we all like loved each other and helped each other and were there for each other. And I kind of miss it. You know, yeah. I was kind of a city boy growing up.
So this is something you would like.
Yeah. Nah,
there's some simplicity to it.
I miss
it, for
some
sure.
of that. You know, I definitely miss it. When I can go home for a little bit, it's kind of nice to get away from it all.
It's one of those weird things where we've gotten so used to it.
Yeah.
I grew up without it, completely without it.
Yeah.
And now that I've gotten it, I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I could get rid of it or not.
Yeah. But it's so nice when you can take a break.
Yeah.
Like on vacation. Just
Do our camps, it's so remote that, you know, a lot of places have to have like a cell phone policy on the campground while you're having a youth camp.
Yeah.
We don't have to because there's no cell service.
Right.
So it's nice, but at the same time, if I got to get something done, I got to drive 10 miles towards Cloudcroft to be able to get a cell signal so I can make a phone call. But
338-3700, if you'd like to call in. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
So I don't know if this is a little off topic or not, but just being on like the space talk, I was out of curiosity if you guys believed or leaned towards the idea that because there's just billions and billions and billions of galaxies, if there's other life out there, if the Bible talks about other life other than Earth, because, you know, just because there's infinite space and even places that we haven't even discovered yet. I mean, I just have curiosity if that's even a possibility.
If it's even a possibility, is the difference between whether or not I believe it. I mean, it's fun to talk about. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would never ever say like, obviously not. But then I'm like, well, I mean, I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah, I think that's something that all of us actually think about a lot.
Well, you know? And there's different theologians who have different thoughts on the end times. Like I know there's one particular I immediately thought of who it's like, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah,
it's going to be aliens. And it's going to cause the great deception and it's going to, you know, and so there's some really fun, like sci-fi theory type things. But as far as whether or not there actually is intelligent life anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pastor,
I would never say yes or no.
I think it would be a little bit arrogant of us to think that the possibility doesn't exist. God is a very big God.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I believe that there is, definitely. I'm not saying that, but kind of like what you said, Steve. I like the way you said, if you throw the word possibility, there's a possibility.
Yeah, of course.
I could get on with the idea that there could be other forms of life.
So then are you saying,
I don't know about other forms of life, but
then are you saying then that God created let's say another species or even more people like us, and that they maybe have never sinned, or that because, you know, when we read for God so loved the world,
weird, man.
That he gave his only begotten son, you know,
yeah.
And, you know, he talks about this world. He doesn't talk about
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. There's a possibility.
Yeah.
All we know is what God has said to us in the world in which we live.
Yeah.
And if he wanted to create something else somewhere else and
for his glory.
For his glory and be their God too, then I suppose he can do whatever he wants.
Sure.
Which, you know, I tend to believe he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Right? People say, why would God do that? And, well, he's God. He can do whatever he wants. And it's not up to me whether I like it or not. He's not obligated to me in any form or fashion.
He's
chosen
to
reveal himself to me. Yeah, I can't.
Right.
I mean,
I've
tried
for him,
and every time I've tried, I usually it blows up in my face.
I'm good.
I decided I'm going to quit speaking on his behalf. So that's why I would say, Dex, that's a valid point that you're making. But I would say, sure, there's a possibility, but all we know is our context. All we know is what God has revealed to us of himself. And not only has he revealed himself to us, but he's actually given us himself in Jesus.
Right.
And we have the opportunity to be in a relationship with the God of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I would land on that. It's one of those things where that's a fun discussion, but to me it's not that big of a deal.
And my faith doesn't hang in the balance on yes or no.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? That's
why I'm
kinda, like,
that's
yeah,
one of
fun.
Those fun speculation things. Yeah, I suppose it
could
be possible.
There was this really, it really bummed me out because I'm a huge fan. Simon Pegg and there are a few others. There's a movie called Paul. And in it, they had this really stereotypical Christian character played by Kristen Wiig that was like this overly, it was a horribly written character.
Yeah.
Because it was just the worst stereotype possible of somebody who would call themselves a Christian. And essentially, like, they find life, you know, they find Paul, this little alien, and it's like, well, now the Bible's a lie and I don't have to believe any of this because there's intelligent life somewhere else in the galaxy. It's like, why would that prove that?
Yeah.
I'm still a sinner.
It doesn't change it. Yeah.
I still like have need of a savior.
Yeah.
Me personally. Mm-hmm. Like So I never understood that argument. Like, well, if there is life outside of this planet, then obviously God's not real. It's like, what? Really?
Yeah, that didn't.
That doesn't. Yeah. But somebody said, go learn some datology. Space is finite. The possibilities don't equate to existence. The numbers show that it's highly improbable, actually. So, okay.
See? People are a lot smarter than me.
Yeah, there you go.
That's why I'm a youth person. Youth guy.
585 Live, if you want to text into the show. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, what's going on in the news today?
100,000 people are expected to descend on Phoenix and suburban Glendale for all the Final Four festivities, with the FanFest Arena open, concerts, the Diamondback season opener, and the Suns also home.
Fox News is facing a lawsuit from two employees. They accuse the network of tolerating racial discrimination.
McDonald's says it will replace frozen beef with fresh patties in quarter pounders.
The Senate Intelligence Committee holds its first public hearing into Russian meddling in last year's presidential election.
A federal judge in Hawaii has extended an order blocking enforcement of the president's revised travel ban.
Ivanka Trump is becoming an official government employee and will serve as an unpaid advisor to her father in the White House.
There's been a spike in pedestrian deaths, up 11% last year.
The days of buying things tax-free from Amazon are coming to an end.
In a spacewalk, astronauts lost an important piece of shielding needed for the International Space Station.
North Carolina scraps a law requiring transgender people to use bathrooms corresponding with the sex listed on their birth certificate.
The U.S. Census Bureau says it does not plan to add questions about sexual orientation and gender identity to the 2020 census and other federal surveys.
Good morning, Starmy. That's you out there. Dex and Steve-O. Sam Swan is here. It is 9:42.
High today of 60 degrees.
How are we looking?
I mentioned this earlier. There are still southbound restrictions at Jefferson, south at I-25, due to a vehicle on fire. Yeah, that's no bueno. Also, Louisiana Boulevard at Central, it's completely closed due to road construction. All traffic in both directions must turn right on Central.
alternate routes you could take, San Mateo or Wyoming. It is closed down as part of the ABQ Rapid Transit construction project, so stay away from that. That's your look at traffic. This traffic update brought to you by Bear Canyon CrossFit, located at 9533 Osuna, Suite B, BearCanyonCrossFit.com, or 505-293-2101. That's 505-293-2101. Thanks again to Bear Canyon CrossFit for this traffic update.
The top things you should do before you turn 50. Sam?
Yes?
You can help us with this.
Okay.
Since you,
I'm about to turn 50.
Yes. Yes. When you look back on your life.
I'm about to continue my journey on 50.
Do you look back and ever say, man, I wish I would have done this?
I haven't done that very much.
Yeah.
The one thing that I sometimes wish, like when, because my son marches in the marching band and my older son marches in the marching band and my one of my daughters marches in the marching band, and the other two were in choir, and I was in choir, and I went to school and got a minor in music. I sometimes wish I would have actually finished my bachelor's degree in music, because it's just music education is a big deal to us. So that's really the only thing that I've ever kind of said, and I only do it around marching festival when I'm sitting up in the stands watching my son march and I'm listening for the chords and the, you know, just listening as a musician. And, I turn to Brendan, at least one time during the marching festivals, I'll say,
yeah,
I kind of wish I would have finished my music degree.
Yeah.
And then about 10 minutes later, I'm like, I'm really glad I didn't finish my music degree.
Yeah. For me, you know, Leslie and I, we started having kids in our early 20s. So by the time our kids will be out of the house, well, they'll be 18 and hopefully in college or, you know, starting their lives, we'll be in our mid 40s.
Yeah.
You know, and so my whole thing is I've always wanted to go back to college and do something, get a degree in something.
Yeah.
Except it's just so hard right now with my schedule and my sleep and everything. And, and of course the kids and what's going on. So my thing, I've kind of made a little promise to myself that when the kids are gone, that I'll focus on like a degree. And I want to do that before I turn 50.
Oh, good for you, Dex. That's great. Yeah.
You know, 45 years old, 46. I'm going back.
Yeah.
I don't care that I'm 45 or 46 years old. I'm going to go back to school.
There's a lot of guys that do that.
A lot of people do that.
I said guys. There's a lot of people who do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great.
Yeah, because it's weird how you change so much over the years.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what I'm going to be like, or the things I'm going to be into when I'm 45 years old.
And you might even be, you'll probably be a better student than you would have been
probably
when you went, if you went earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I've never really understood.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of understand, you know, why you should probably go to college right after school.
Yeah.
But you're so young and you don't even really understand what you want to do with your life.
Right.
And so you have all these kids going to college and they're getting degrees that they don't even end up using.
Right.
They waste
but
all that
your
money.
Brain is a muscle, and if you stop using it and go into radio and just say dumb things for 20 years, going back to college is going to be really hard, buddy.
You see, I think kids need to go out and travel the world. I think that is what they should do right after high school. They should go travel.
All of that kid money they've got.
You don't need money to go travel. There's people all the time that, you know,
they could do it. GoFundMe.
Facebook
money raising or whatever they're going to call it.
No, there's tons of people that actually will go from town to town and just work little jobs and
that's
then
true.
Go to another.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
there's actually, there's been some talk of some friends of mine in the youth ministry world that talk about a gap year where they take a year off and do service stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they travel with their church and do short-term missions, or they do other, and to kind of gain 1 year of life experience post high school, pre college, and then they come back and they're ready to go to school and they have a little better idea of what they want to major in. And I also, you know, the schools put pressure on the students to, you have to choose a major as soon as you go to school, you have to choose a major right away. That's not completely true.
Yeah.
So I try to tell the students that I know, listen, the school is going to try to want you because that helps them financially. If you declare a major, then you're on that one.
Yeah.
And then they change. And then that helps them too because they have to stay there a little longer.
So I'm
like, you know what? I wouldn't go that far. But you have to experience some things. And you might have been interested in this, but then when you're in school, you're like, I took this one class and I fell in love with this particular topic.
Yeah.
I want to get a degree in this.
Mm-hmm.
So find out some things that you might want to do. So I try to tell them, the school's going to pressure you to pick a major. You still have a little bit of time to pick a major.
I
now, I know academicians out there listening are going to say, no, you need to declare because it gets you right on it. Now,
Not necessarily. Yeah. You still have time to make up your mind.
Yeah.
But you, boo.
Yeah, that's right, baby. That's right.
Somebody chimed in and said, Dex, my mom received her college degree at 60.
Oh, I love that.
Good for her.
Boom.
That's awesome.
Heck yeah.
So there you go. So what is this? What's this list?
Man?
What do we got to do?
I'll see if I did any of these.
It's the top 10 things you should do before you turn 50. This is according to a new study. Some of them are buy a house.
Okay.
Have kids.
I had kids. I didn't buy a house.
Are these all like American dream things?
Get married.
I did that.
Fall in love.
Well, I fell in love before I got married.
I mean, I got married. I'm just kidding.
Donate blood.
Okay. I've done all of these. This is great.
Read 100 books.
Oh, I haven't counted, but I probably have. Yeah.
See your favorite band live.
Okay. This is a boring list. I've done all
I've
of these.
I've missed one of those.
I didn't get to see Nirvana.
I didn't get to see the Eagles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now
I can't.
Learn a language.
I have learned English from birth.
Okay.
So technically, yes, I did that one.
See?
Own a dog. Okay, so those are some of the basic ones. Now, here's some of the other ones.
It's like a tragically boring life.
Right?
Gosh.
Learn to say no to your mother.
Oh, I did when I was 12.
Right.
And I got whooped out of me. Yeah. So I never said no to my mother ever again.
Ever.
Quit a job.
Okay.
I haven't done that yet, but
all right, let's do this.
I've done that. swim with dolphins.
Have not done that.
Own a business.
No.
Ride in a hot air balloon.
I've done that.
I'm afraid of heights. Jesus said, and lo, I am with you always.
Oh, man. Run a marathon. You've ever ran a marathon?
Half marathon. Yeah. I've run a bunch of half marathons that might add up to some marathons.
There you go. That's.
I have a goal of running a full marathon, but every time I've trained for one, I've developed a little injury that has kept me from running it.
Oh.
Or one of my daughters had a baby. So.
Yeah.
At the time.
Here's one that we talked about earlier. Get a tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
You've thought about it.
Yeah, but it says before 50.
Before 50.
See, I'm after 50. Okay. I'm not allowed to have a tattoo. That's just weird.
Yeah. So those are some of the things, according to this study, that they came up with. So I thought, you know, what as cheesy as those are, and, you know, most of those things we've done, what are things that we should do before we turn 50? 585 Live.
Man.
585-5483 if you want to text.
That's a good question.
Well, somebody just chimed in there, 26 years old. They've been doing what Sam said now for 7 years. They still have no idea what they want to do when they grow up. Not in the field they went to school for, but they've lived in 3 states and moved 7 times.
Wow.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
That sounds adventurous, man.
See, and I did that growing up because my dad was in the Air Force, so I lived all over the place.
Yeah, but that is, I mean.
Now I kind of want to stay.
Yeah. Really?
Because of that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And
every once in a while I get itchy feet and I'm like, I got to move somewhere.
Yeah, we
so
moved.
So Brenda says, just get up and go
to
the front room for a little while and come back.
But I get antsy.
Yeah.
I want to go somewhere.
Yeah. You're like Moana. The sea calls to you. Yeah.
It does. It calls me.
Yeah.
No one knows.
For the Toth family, for my family, we bought a house right when we got married.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of made a. We bought the house and then the market crashed.
Oh, yeah.
And we kind of were in a situation where we were living in a place that was a little expensive. And so we ended up having to short sell our house. And so after that, we just decided we're just going to rent.
Yeah.
And we haven't bought a house since.
Stop talking.
Then.
Oh, gosh.
I know. Oh. And it's been tough because, you know, you see a lot of our friends who we've been friends with over the years and they have, you know, two homes, you know, they rent one out or they've made so much extra money off of their house because they bought at the right time and sold. And you're kind of like, ugh.
I do think you need to be careful because this list can set you up for failure. I know everybody gets so mad at me because on Valentine's Day, we called my boys and it was like, what's the piece of advice daddy gives you? And it was never get married. And people were so mad. Yeah. I can't believe you would tell your child that. But I do think. It's because I'm leery of the American dream.
Yeah.
I'm leery of what our culture throws at people as contentment.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you're going to go to college and then you're going to buy a house and you're going to get a wife and the kids and the dog and the career and that's going to fulfill you. And guess what? They're all hollow, empty promises on their own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On their own, none of that will complete you.
Yeah.
And I think so. I've seen so many people, friends, follow that stupid American dream
And if then I could just get their, this, their, I would yeah, be happy.
And then they're in their 40s, you know, or 30s, or even some friends in their 20s, man, where it didn't complete them like they thought. And then they bail.
Yeah, it creates a whole bunch of other issues for
yeah.
them.
Yeah. Yeah. Because so they just, because it's, that's it, you know? Yeah. And it's like, man, I did this because culture told me to, or because the church told me this, or because whatever it is. And then you find yourself there and realize you didn't truly make those decisions yourself. But now what do you do?
Yeah.
You know, and so I think because of that, it's like, sure, I want my kids eventually to, but I, right now when they're children, because on the flip side, man, I got friends who have like 6-year-olds who are already talking about like their boyfriend and girlfriend and all these stupid things. And I'm like, man, my kids never talked like that.
Yeah.
They were never like weird and I shouldn't say weird, just different, yeah. but they were never super girl crazy or because they're kids. And we put these weird pressures on them, like, man, our kids are getting married. We're betrothing our kids to each other. It's like, dude, you are destroying that.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Sorry, soapbox. I'm jumping away.
For real.
I got to go. See you guys later. I'm quitting my job.
I thought the soapbox was out here. I didn't know I got about dragged me. Into the studio.
I was talking about gosh. Me. I got to go.
Yeah.
You going to quit your job before 50?
Yeah.
Got to start new. If you want to text in, we're talking about things you should do before you turn 50. But I do agree with a lot that you said.
Yeah.
Because you're right. I mean, there's this American dream is not real.
It's hollow, man.
Yeah. You know, you don't have to buy a house right away. You don't have to get married right away.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm saying it right out of high school. You don't have to go to college right away. You know, you go out and see the world, experience, grow up a little bit and figure out what you want to do with your life. Because I truly don't think you realize what you want to do when you're 18 years old.
Right.
You're a completely different person from the time you're 18 to 25.
And if you're 18 years old, you don't have to court to marry immediately. What? Yeah. I know. That's kind of. But I mean, that's the thing is it's like in the church, it's like we don't date. We court with the intent of marrying. And it's like you're setting up this 18-year-old on their first, quote, date with the thought immediately of I have to think about if I'm going to marry this person right now at 18.
Or
so I'm not saying
younger.
That you or younger.
Or 16.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I think that's scary, man.
Yeah.
I don't like that either. Yeah. I'm not saying like just go date. I'm not saying that, but oh man. Well, just seeing too many people
we
hurt.
Especially those of us who follow Christ, we need to learn to be content in Him.
Hmm.
And anything else that happens in our life is a blessing or something to be learned from what He allows in our lives to teach us, those trials and testings that He allows to, you know, like James talks about, to deepen our faith, to help us to develop perseverance, to help us to develop our character and who He wants us to be. And if we can learn to find our contentment in Him, then all that other stuff won't bring contentment. If we get some of that, that's great.
Yeah.
But that's not going to make us happy. That doesn't make us happy or bring contentment. And I don't even like that phrase, make us happy.
Yeah.
It's more of a contentment issue with me than it is a happiness issue.
Yeah.
So, try something new today before you turn 50. How about that?
Yeah.
That's a good word right there.
Thank you, Sam, for coming in, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure.
I pinch myself because I think they actually invited me to come and be a part of the show.
I love you, man.
I love it.
Starmie loves you. Thank you, Starmie, for being a part of the show this week. If you missed any of the shows, hit the podcast. It'll be up in a little bit. You can get it at our app or at our website, star88.fm. If you have iTunes, Google Play, you can subscribe. It's a big weekend for baseball people.
That's right.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm happy for you guys.
The road to the defense of the championship starts in St. Louis on Sunday.
Baseball!
I love it.
Me too.
Stommy, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
All we got. There ain't no more.
That's right.
Time is tight. It's the end of the show.